begins with the words appearing on the screen a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Space
Yellow
track?
Team. Pardon me?
Space Track?
Space Track? No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Red Team, do you know?
Star Trek?
Star Trek? Ooh, no. Oh, both of you so close. It's Star Wars. Luke, Luke. Ah, feel the force.
Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Welcome to the Cheap Seats. 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 Where life is free of spectacles.
Flo? Flo like the TV show. What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Anything else before I leave the area?
No. Yeah, yes. Yes, my soda's flat. It doesn't have any bubbles.
Happy now?
Feels good to mingle with these laid-back country folk, don't it, Hare?
I like it a lot.
What was the Lone Ranger's horse called? Yes, Red Team.
Simba?
Simba is incorrect.
Why do you love me? Why do you need me? Always and forever. We met in a chat room. Now our love can fully bloom. Sure, the World Wide Web is great. But you make me salivate. Yes, I love technology. But not as much as you see. But I still love technology. Always and forever. Our love is like a flock of doves. Flying up to heaven above. Always and forever. Always and forever.
He was almost called Texas Tiny, Wyoming Willie, or Denver Dan. But they finally named this Bugs Bunny cartoon enemy after a park in California. Who is he? Yellow Team.
Yogi Bear?
No.
Kenny, the food that I bought yesterday is already gone.
I was entertaining some friends last night, and we had the munchies.
Look, I am not working to feed your scummy friends, okay?
You're a career woman now. We can afford to be hospitable.
Whatever. Here. Go buy some more food for the kids.
All right, you got paid.
I gotta go. And I don't want your friends hanging around my house.
Right.
Mow the lawn today, and don't forget to do the dishes, okay? Bye.
Space Thunder Kids. The evil forces of the Dark Emperor threaten the entire universe.
All right, let's get them.
Attention, everyone to your battle stations and prepare to attack the Dark Emperor's fleet.
Space Thunder Kids. It is the ultimate battle between good and evil, freedom and oppression. Space Thunder Kids. Will the courage of a brave few be enough to win the day?
I'll do the dishes.
Oh! Ah!
Dishes are done, man.
Clean
them
down.
Hell yeah! Woo! The dishes are done, man! Hey! 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 Hey, what's going on? Hey!
listen to Worm Mulberry, everybody. Whoa! Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. We're back! Oh! 2010, Steven.
Wow.
The pop culture zealot over there.
Yes, sir. You get your voice back finally? You
yes, feel better? I did.
Get a lot of rest there?
My voice is back! Oh! Until after this show. Yeah, good times. But Steven, it's so great to see you again. I haven't seen you in
years.
Last year. Oh, man. I screwed up my joke.
Oh.
But actually, I think my voice is going again. Damn it. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
I'm good.
You know what's funny, Bill, is before the holidays, you know, when we did the holiday package, you and I talked like every day, did all these commentaries. After that, it was just like, boom, like, we're not going to talk for a while.
Nothing.
We haven't spoken in forever.
You were really running around, man.
Yeah, I really
all
do.
All over the place.
We go to so many different houses on Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. And in fact, it froze over. You know, we talk all the time about Texas, how we don't get snow or whatever. But we actually had a white Christmas. But the scary thing about Texas is it turns into ice, like polished black ice that's scary as hell.
Man, you're racist. White Christmas, black ice.
That's how I roll, man. And we went to my sister's house.
It was two days before it was 70 degrees. Out getting a suntan, then the next day it snows.
It was freezing and everything and snowing. It was really cool until we drove to Fort Worth on slick ice, and it was scary. We got there, and the whole time as we're like, oh, hey, everybody, you know, we're opening presents or whatever and eating. And I'm like, I got to drive home in this shit. I got to drive home tonight in this.
And that's scary stuff.
There was ice in the street right in front of my sister's house. So I'm like,
this is Christmas Day?
This is Christmas Eve. Oh, okay. The night before. And we were driving down Camp Bowie, Steve.
Yeah, I didn't leave
there. There was
house.
A friggin' semi, like our 18-wheeler, whatever, in front of us. And there was a red light, so he started to stop, and it just started sliding, and turning.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. And I had it in second gear the whole time, and I was like, okay, I'm never going to hit my brake the whole way home. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to glide home. I'm not going to
brake. We're going to coast.
And by the time we got close to Arlington, there was no ice. I don't know. We didn't get it as bad as Fort Worth. Fort Worth got it really bad. By the time we got near home, I was like, finally. It took like over an hour to get home, and it was scary as hell.
Yeah, I got about a foot in my backyard, but a foot of snow.
Yeah, I mean, that part was pretty cool. It was just the ice part. It was scary.
And, the next day,
of snow? 12 inches of snow in Texas?
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah, wow. And that's because, you know, of all the swirling around, you know, and it gathered in my backyard because of the fences you know.
But right now...
In the front, it was probably 4 or 5 inches deep.
I would say right now we're
and that's
dealing
still
with
pretty amazing.
Colder weather, though. We're dealing with colder weather right now, Bill, where it's in the...
That's global warming, man.
In the teens at night, where I actually had to bust out and buy a winter cap because I couldn't take it anymore. My poor ears.
You're wearing
freezing.
Your long johns and winter cap at night.
Oh, yeah. I had to bust out. I was like, I'm wearing sweats under my jeans when I go to pick up my daughter because all the parents have to wait outside for the kids to come out. And you see all the parents like, everybody's standing there. I'm just like, can everyone huddle up? Let's all just warm up, okay? Right?
I'm going to start smoking again. Just to
keep warm. We need to do that thing penguins do where they all burrow in together. Like,
protect the eggs!
But, hey, I hope you guys had happy holidays. Did you not, huh?
It was pretty good. No problem.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Good stuff, huh? You guys got lots of cool presents, huh? Get a big wheel, Steven?
Got my big wheel.
Yeah? Bill, get one of those...
I like the little brake on the side so I can slide sideways.
Yeah, I got one of those new ones, though, that are LEDs. I wanted the black construction paper with the incandescent light bulb.
Oh, yeah, and you get the different patterns that you put together.
Yeah.
And also, I got Mousetrap, the board game, so that's pretty awesome, right?
Cool.
I'll never forget the year I got that. My sister and I never learned how to play it. We just always set off the trap.
Yeah, you lose interest and you just want to set the trap off. But, Bill...
It's such a pain in the ass. I mean, once you get the trap set, it's like, well, I don't even want to play the game.
Yeah. I don't want to have to trigger it or whatever. But I wanted to thank everyone for supporting Miller and Mulberry over the holidays, Bill. All the people that got the holiday package. We had some generous donations in there.
We really did.
It was pretty awesome. We got some real support by, you know, all the people that we see on Facebook or email us. All those people supported us. And even people I've never heard of before. It's like, oh, we got a fan in Scotland. We have a fan in Ireland and Sweden. It's really cool to see the different countries. And it's like, okay, someone in Sweden wants to listen to two chuckleheads joke, make fun of Star Wars or make fun of Lethal Weapon 3.
It's humbling.
Yeah. And I don't even know if, honestly, I hope people enjoyed the commentaries, if you could sit through them. If you couldn't, it's okay. You know, Bill and I are still trying to learn the whole commentary thing, but I just want to thank everybody for showing support in the show. I think it's pretty awesome. We did.
Yeah, we will get better. We promise.
We will. We will rebuild. Sorry, I had to do my auntie entity there. But it was a lot of fun, and it just encourages us to do some more packages and I have some ideas for actual shows, too, you know, Bill and I talk about from time to time. And I really want to get more productive. And that my New Year's resolution is anything. Not going to lose weight. Not going to stop eating fast food. I want to turn Nowhere Mulberry into a job. That's what I want. I want to turn it into something that makes a profit and we can earn money, Bill.
That sounds like quite a dream.
Yeah, it is. Maybe which one's more likely, that or me stopping eating fast food?
probably making it a job.
But, Bill, the way that we do this is by putting out something people want and, you know, different kinds of shows and stuff. But also, I want to complete our Mulberry Dark Tower book club also. I want to keep that going. So we're going to be very productive this year is what I'm saying.
Excellent.
Right, Steven?
Yes.
And, hey, let's thank Rick right away. Did all three of us. He sent us all three presents, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, Steven, what was the movie?
Curse of the Komodo.
Curse of the Komodo.
I can't wait to watch it. I haven't had the time.
We need to, the three of us need to sit down and watch this together and give Rick an honorary commentary for it.
I would have much rather watched it than the two movies I did on New Year's when my eldest sister visited.
And what would those be?
Four Christmases.
Nice.
And Couples Retreat.
Awesome.
I have to tell you, Couples Retreat is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Wow.
It just drags, and it's not funny, and it's derivative of so many other better relationship comedies. It's just so bad.
You know what? I honestly just continuously watch A Christmas Story on TBS on Christmas Eve.
I'm perfectly happy with that. In fact, I love turning... That's when you know it's Christmas.
Right.
When you turn on TBS and it's just A Christmas Story for 24 hours.
And it's one of those movies you can watch over and over again. I love it.
I laugh every time. I never tire of it.
And it wasn't until I was watching that, I was like, oh, I should have put some of that in my intro for the Christmas special. And I hope people like that show, too, because we had a lot of fun doing that.
And it's funny, you know, the Christmas leg lamp, you know, the first prize, whatever.
Yeah, for Julie.
And in the books on the airplane, you can order that.
Nice.
The house that the movie was shot in Cleveland, you can actually buy the leg lamps there.
Oh, cool.
And the Blu-ray that I got last year actually came with a string of lights that have leg lamps on them.
Nice.
So back behind in my living room behind my my surround rear speakers, my 7.1 surround rear speakers, I have those strung up. So
nice.
I'm like, those look really nice. Maybe I'll just leave them up all year.
Hell yeah.
It's so tacky and hilarious.
That's
I love
it. Stylish.
Them. They're electric sex.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Okay, hey guys, we have lots of voicemail and we should just roll right into it. Otherwise, we'll never finish the show.
Be a marathon show?
Yeah, one of those. One of those again, huh?
I like it a lot.
And our first one is from Andy. Andy Hayes. Let's check it out.
Hey, Miller and Mulberry. This is Andy, Bill's friend from Michigan. Just calling to say hi, and I hope you guys all had a very good Christmas. I had a pretty good one. Got a lot of nice stuff, and basically just had a nice, peaceful little vacation. And I've been watching the Steven Seagal Lawman show, and it's kind of interesting that one of the episodes that they had on reruns, I guess it was, Steven Seagal got the finger from an 80-year-old woman when they honked her to try to pull over.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. But I was wondering if you guys were going to talk about that tonight and sort of poke fun at all that kind of stuff. So I guess I will
poke fun.
Listen to the show tonight. I'm going to be getting off work a little early tonight, so I'll be able to have that to do today without having anything else on my plate. So I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
So you have nothing better to do, so you're going to check us out. All right, thanks.
But that's a true friend.
Yeah, we'll talk about Lawman later, which I swear to God, when I'm watching Lawman, I get really sleepy while watching this show.
You know what it is? It's that tone of voice that Steven Seagal has.
Drone-y.
It's like this hushed, groaning whisper.
And it's not until it's when I'm like,
he
please.
He puts the criminals to sleep on the way to the precinct.
Yeah.
Please bring some black people on the show, because at least that'll entertain me when he's talking to them, you know?
You know what happens is he, at the end of each arrest, he does that, well, everything went really well. I'm glad people survived and we did something good for the community. And it's like...
Yeah. And these little children, they fast, boy.
Just when he talks to people, like, just out on the street, not even black people, white people, Mexicans.
Yeah, but
anything.
It's worse with black people.
How did mama let him go?
He slips into this, like, step and fetch it brogue. It's so offending.
It's awesome. I love Steven Seagal.
That's your baby?
Yeah, that's your baby. All right, but we'll talk about that later, Andy. But now we got another voicemail by Adam. Let's check it out.
Hey, what's up, Nowhere and Mulberry guys? It's Adam from California, Bay Area, out here at Slinkers, so, New Year's Day.
Slinkers?
Wait a minute. New Year's 2, January 2010. Not at the ESPN zone.
Like 30 seconds.
I'm at Slinkers this time, and I'm with Ross, and we're with my friend from Minnesota.
Hello,
Mulberry. That's what we're saying. I think it's safe to say that I've had a lot of drinks, and we're doing cover. Okay, tonight, aka karaoke. Okay. This is probably going to freak some listeners out because I'm way more hammered this time I was in the ESPN zone. I better give the phone to Ross because this is incoherent babble at this point.
Hello, Mulberry. Bill, I just got finished singing Who Wants to Live Forever by Queen, and I must say that my performance will echo in the ether of this building for years to come.
Wow. Roy, you're a poet.
Wow.
We just wanted to say that your show is... Oh, my God! My chair just broke, and I fell over into a tree. Adam just saved my life. That was crazy. Anyway, we wanted to say that your show is probably my favorite thing in entertainment forever. So, all right, I'm going to give the phone back to Adam. Here he is.
Seriously, though, Ross almost, like, broke his chair. I don't know what happened. It was like a bush. And he almost fell into it. And, like, I, like, grabbed his arm and kept him from falling all the way down. And I'm so hammered that there's a bunch of cigarette butts, and I want to grab one and light it and try to smoke it.
Oh,
guys,
don't do
don't
that.
Play this on the air.
Oh.
Too late.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
I didn't catch that. Oh, sorry,
I'm
guys.
I'm going to go to the Bay Area and hang out with them.
Yeah, but don't smoke those already lit butts, because that stuff
no.
is really dangerous. It's like, I'm really hammered. I want to light one of them.
Even in high school, whenever I smoked, there was nothing... Nothing tasted worse than a cigarette that you smoked half of and then
right.
had to put
I've
out.
I've seen people do that. Like, all right, I'm going to smoke the rest of this later. It's like, that's even nastier than your regular habit of smoking. To light one, butt it out, and then save it for later. That's disgusting.
Yeah. like
light
I,
it and try to
we,
smoke it.
You know, we would do that sometimes, you know, whenever we would have to go somewhere because, you know, we were so cool and
you just
couldn't
throw
smoke
it down
wherever
and
we were going.
Out,
and they
yeah.
tasted so bad.
I know. That's
it's
awesome.
Like that burnt, nasty, like rancid tobacco taste.
Well, you know, it was nice to hear from Drunk Adam and Drunk Ross, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys.
It was.
Guys, don't play this on the air.
Oh, oops. Sorry about that. Now we have another voicemail from Sean. Let's check it out.
What's going on, Mulberry? This is Sean. Hope you guys had a great, fun, safe holiday season with a nice little break from the show. Hope you guys got to spend time with your loved ones. I myself headed back home to Hawaii for about 10 days, and it was really, really nice. Got to see my friends and family, got to surf a little bit, got a tan. It was good times, and now I'm back at work, and yeah. But at least now that I'm back at work, I can look forward to some more of your episodes coming up. Don't know when your next episode's going to be, but whenever it is,
right
I'm
now.
Sure it'll be awesome. I really enjoyed your guys' Avatar/Colin show. It was a nice change of pace, and it was really a good listen. And I'm just kind of bummed that I wasn't able to call in, but hopefully you can do another one next time, whenever that may be. And also, over my break, I got to listen to a couple of your commentaries from the holiday package and really, really enjoyed them. I listened to The Phantom Menace and laughed my ass off with you guys, and I'm about halfway through Attack of the Clones, but I got a little bogged down during the holiday season, so I'll have to finish that up a little later.
That's two-parter, anyways.
Revenge of the Sith. Actually, right before I went on vacation, I listened to the Lethal Weapon one while I was at work, because I don't own Lethal Weapon 3 on DVD. So I just listened to the commentary, and just listening to it alone was entertaining enough, so good job. Yeah, but anyway, looking forward to whenever your guys' next show is, and hope you guys have a great, great New Year, and I'll talk to you a little later. All right, bye.
Well, thanks, Sean. Thanks for letting us know about what you thought of the commentaries and stuff. Because honestly, Bill, we didn't hear a lot. So it was like over the holiday season, I was like,
everybody's busy.
Yeah, everybody's busy. So
I was but still, we were a little bummed.
Like, at least let us know if you thought it sucked or something. But Bill, we put out the PAL version of the commentaries too, because someone requested.
Yeah, it has more power. The PAL version.
Because other parts of the world, you know, we're NTSC, and other parts of the world are PAL, which is about, what did you say, 4% faster?
Yeah, it's a 4% speed up.
I have no idea why that is, but
because they are 25 frames a second, and we're 29.97.
It's so complicated and ridiculous.
But you know what's really weird is some DVDs are in NTSC are 23.97 frames per second.
Huh?
So it's only like a 1% speed up so I was all confused when I was doing the PAL speed up, and I was like, oh shit, I'll just make it 4%.
Wow.
It's really complicated and irritating, honestly.
It is. So
it's probably got to do with anything about their power usage, you know, how they're
their resolution. It's closer, actually. PAL is closer to like a film. You know, 24 frames a second. So, I honestly can't explain it. Check Wikipedia for a full explanation, but it's a pain in the ass.
I just want to say thank you for everybody for being patient with us and that. And if we ever do one of these again, just let us know in advance. We'll make the PAL version right away available.
Yeah.
For our commentaries of what movie was it?
Space Trek.
Yeah, Space Trek commentaries, Bill. I love that movie, by the way. Would you like the Space Trek, Bill?
The Space Trek are actually my favorite films.
Is that what it was called?
You know, the Wrath of the Menace and... I love V'ger.
You know that in the intro, there's some of that Nick Arcade stuff, and those poor kids are...
stupid?
Yeah, but my favorite part of the whole video is there's these
I know
two,
what you're going to say.
There's these two little kids, you know, they're competing. I don't know, what are they, like 7 and 8? I don't know. They're little kids, and he goes, what movie was James Caan held captive by his number one fan? And it's just dead silence, crickets. They're like, it's like, wow, how is a little kid going to know about Misery?
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny. It's like,
wasn't that a rated R movie?
Yeah, it's a rated R movie. They're asking a little kid.
I mean, it's not like it was a PG, PG or PG-13.
Is it Mighty Ducks?
That, I would have believed that more.
Yeah.
Space Trek?
Yeah, Space Trek. Now, guys, we have one more voicemail. Who can it be? Rick! Let's hear what he has to say! Oh, I strained something. Sorry.
Hey, guys, it's Rick. Oh, I'm sorry about last week. I was planning on like, oh, sweet, you're going to do a call-in show. I'm going to call up. It's going to be, I'm going to get to talk to you guys. It'll be awesome. And ended up being, it was the same time which I was driving down
every
to see my family. So
it's
like a 9-hour drive down. So, yeah, wasn't much chance of it happening. And down there, no one had the internet, so I was kind of screwed anyway.
Sorry,
so. Yeah, it sucked, and I was listening to your show going, come on, I hope Rick calls in, even though I know I didn't, but it was just part of me going, man, I hope he does, that'd be sweet, but, you know, it's an impossibility for me to do something which I can't remember doing, unless I was really drunk and there's a possibility of it happening then, but I wasn't drinking, so I knew it didn't happen. Anyway, it was a really good show, even though it was different from all the other weeks, I still enjoyed it, and I think you guys should... Like, instead of, like, one week where you're like, oh, I can't be bothered, we haven't prepared anything, just do one of these shows again, because, you know, it was good, you know, it flowed well, even though you didn't prepare anything, and I had a lot of fun. yeah, I like the gay guy, Chad, he called up, and he was, like, saying how he liked my picture from the Hands podcast. I was like, oh, I wonder which picture that was, and I went back and had a look. And it was my cat, and I was like, oh. I thought it was like one of the sexy ones of them. But it wasn't. How's it going, Chad? Yeah, you like that cat, don't you? Freaking weird, Rick. Stop it. Yeah, my audio last week was a bit crap. I've been playing around with the settings, trying to get it a bit better. So hopefully it's a bit better this week. But the Avatar show last week, it was so good to hear you guys just talking about it and, like, feeling the love that you guys had for it. And I liked it too, yeah. I really did. I watched it in 3D as well, and I, you know, got to keep my glasses. And it was the first 3D movie I've ever seen, and so the start of it, I was kind of just getting used to it and, you know, looking in different parts of the screen, see what was happening, and noticing that if they wanted you to focus on one part, that part was in focus. But if you were looking off to the side, it was kind of, you know, fuzzy and stuff. So I was kind of just like letting my vision just focus on where it could focus on, and kind of worked a bit better. But it was cool. Last week's show, I just wrote down like a whole A4 sheet of paper of notes of stuff I wanted to talk about. It was basically all Avatar stuff. And, you know, I remember listening to other voicemails that I've done from, you know, a week ago, and they just seem old to me after a week. So I probably won't talk too much about Avatar. But I will talk about it a little bit because, you know, even though this might be like 3 weeks, 4 weeks old when you eventually play it, I just want you to know how I feel about Avatar. Not like you care anyway.
Wow.
It's not like a whatever, but, you know,
no,
I'm just going to do it anyway. Yeah. Really cut that I didn't get to call in on the call-in show. And you were like, oh, call in, Rick. Oh, no, he can't. You know, it was sad. I was like, you know those moments in life where you're just like, oh, I regret not being there at this moment. I regret not calling into your show.
You blew it,
and,
right?
And forever, I'll just be like, oh, if they never do another call-in show, I was never on that call-in show. And it's disappointing. And in years to come,
though.
I'll look back and go,
yes.
Why, Rick? Why weren't you prepared? What's going on? Why you're an idiot. Just hang your head in shame.
No, Rick.
Anyway, next time I come to America, I'm definitely going to have to come and say hi to you guys in person and give you a big hug and just like give you a cuddle for a bit and go, oh, it's good to feel the love in person.
Everyone likes a cuddle.
Bit of ass play. No. No ass play, I promise. I'm not that weird. Not on the first date, anyway. yeah, he's like, no, I don't think, Rick. Yeah, but just call us. Don't come around. You're a weirdo, right? It'll be creepy.
Get Chad to come and you
but next time you have
me.
A call-in show, and you're gonna do it again, just because this time I wasn't on there, so you're just gonna have to do another one. I'll be there the next time. I promise. I promise. I will miss my child's birth to be there. I'm not like my wife's pregnant, but if she was and she was giving birth, I gotta go, babe. They need
to say,
me.
Congratulations!
I gotta say, in Avatar, those blue chick aliens—they have to be one of the sexiest aliens ever. You know,
definitely.
Like in some aliens, they're not that good looking, and if you had to, you know, hit that, you'd be a bit hesitant. But those blue ones. Straight away, you'd hit that, no hesitation.
No hesitation.
Saying they're pretty good-looking aliens.
They're even gigantic.
And last week, it was really cool hearing you guys open up a little bit more about what you do. Yeah, I don't know. I felt the love a bit more, you know. I got to know you guys a little bit better. And, a
lot of love on
and,
that show.
It was just really sweet and nice. So thank you for sharing. That's all. And I'm very much looking forward to the Christmas special you guys have done for us again. The commentaries, it's good to hear that you've finally got around to doing a commentary, and I'm excited to listen to them. So thanks for that. I'll put in a donation as soon as I can. And I just wanted to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year,
mellow.
All that stuff, you know, eat lots of chicken and turkey and, you know, then pass out in the lounge and wake up with your child just putting peas into your nose, or your niece and nephews just shoving carrot sticks into your ears. That's always nice during the Christmas time, especially if it's got, you know, some sort of French onion dip on the end of the carrots. It's always good for the inner ear cavity.
Nice. I think he's got some crazy wild nieces.
See you guys
and
later.
Nephews.
And yeah. This was Rick from Australia. You guys are special to me.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Rick. Rick was...
Why do I feel dirty after that?
He was just sweet-talking us, wasn't he?
He wants to give us a cuddle.
He was really mellow, wasn't he?
He was... I think maybe there was some, you know, prescription medication maybe involved there.
Light it and try to smoke it.
That, huh? More of that?
What the hell was that?
Dishes are done, man.
No, Rick, thank you so much. That was an awesome voicemail.
Whoa, dishes are done, man.
Yeah, the voicemails are done, man.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know. That guy's a genius in that flick, especially.
Four films.
Now, Rick, we will eventually do another call-in show, because I had a lot of fun doing it, you know? What I'd really love to have is a phone system.
We need to plan
it
out a little further out. That way people can, you know...
So people have...
sufficient time to prep themselves.
They know when to set aside their eventful Friday nights and be like, you know what? I'm not going to do anything tonight. I'm going to listen to the Nowhere Mulberry Boys. I'm going to call in to them. Or, huh?
To them. They.
Sorry, I can't talk.
I'm so hammered.
Yeah, I'm hammered.
Oh, and he's totally right about Neytiri, man. Oh, about halfway through the movie, you're looking at her. It's like, you know what? I'd do that.
And she is pretty hot. Hey! All right, guys. Let's check out Entertainment!
Luke.
Ah, feel the force!
Okay.
I don't think Yoda ever said feel the force.
Feel the force, whoa.
It sounds like something that's in, like, Highlander. It's the quickening! Feel the quickening!
Space Trek?
No, that was in Space Trek, I think.
Oh, okay.
Now, guys, I want to blow past the movie section. We'll just talk about it really quick because we have a lot of TV shows to talk about. Over the holiday break, I saw Moonville with Sam Rockwell.
Such a great movie.
Sci-fi movie. He's on the moon. Awesome movie. Awesome. I watched it twice.
It's not that uplifting sci-fi, though. I tend to prefer that.
Well, you know what?
I went back to Avatar for a second
time. I'm more of the Cocoon 2 type of sci-fi, but this... was awesome, I thought.
The comment I just made is referring back to what Andy Seams said on Facebook, and I'll never get that because I got to talk to him about Moon, because Moon reminded me so much of like an amalgam of 2001 and just different classic sci-fi films, and I just thought it just was perfect.
Right.
I have absolutely no qualms with it, and I don't get the whole that it wasn't and uplifting. I thought the ending was quite uplifting, actually.
Yeah. I thought it was – I mean, it was just a damn good movie. I don't care if it's happy, sad, depressing, happy-go-lucky or whatever. It's just a damn good flick, and Sam Rockwell's amazing in it. So,
and the science is really good in it. I was very impressed from the scientific standpoint.
So I would like to hear Andy Sims talk about that.
Yeah, I would.
Because you said Seams. I just love
Seams,
it.
Sims.
Because that's the way his name looks. He's made that up. It is Seams. I knew it. But am I right? Come on.
We got you, Andy.
I always it's like, I don't care how many times I say his last name. It's always different. Each time.
Now, always. I also saw, guys, Sherlock Holmes, huh? Mm. Now, you know what? I will say this. I liked Robert Downey Jr. and I liked Jude Law. And I thought they had a great dynamic and that was funny and everything. The mystery part of it, it wasn't really that interesting to me. It wasn't that exciting. And when, you know, a lot of mysteries are as good as the reveal. And I didn't think it was that... they shouldn't have played the supernatural element because it's Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, no, they went there.
You know it's not going to... Well, no, they don't really. It's just kind of... they're trying to bait you into thinking a certain way. And so, so they can do the Scooby-Doo ending. But still, I mean, the movie was a lot of fun. I'm just going to say that I think it made enough money. They'll make another one. And they just punch up the mystery better. You know what I'm saying?
Did they use like a classic storyline or was it just all new?
I have no idea. I've never read any Sherlock Holmes, so I'm going to say it was all new, but what the hell do I know? But I thought Guy Ritchie did a pretty good job. I mean,
he's
Guy
a
Ritchie.
Competent director, not a great director.
You know what?
But
I'm a fan of the kinetic editing that he loves, that he likes to do. And was it Matthew Vaughn who was his editor? Do I got that right, or is he his producer? The director, Matthew.
Producer.
Oh, he's a producer. But I love that editing style, that kinetic cuts and slowdown and stuff. And if you're going to see his movies, you know you're going to get that. So if you don't like it, just don't see the movie. That's why I feel. Like if I watch the movie Snatch, I know I'm going to get a lot of that. But it, somehow it just doesn't seem right saying that word, does it, Steve?
No, not at all. Snatch.
I'd rather say another name. I don't know.
Space Trek?
Yeah, Space Trek. Something like that. But also,
from
guys.
From now on, we'll say Space Trek instead of Snatch.
Yes, I love Space Trek by Guy Ritchie.
I love Snatch.
Yeah, I do love Snatch. That's a good movie. But also, guys, Avatar, what's funny is, you know, there was a lot of Avatar backlash before the movie came out. It's made a lot of money or whatever. And that's real cool, I guess. You know, I think it's great that we'll get another Avatar because I really like the story. I mean, but I think it's funny how, and I won't really go into this a lot, Bill, but it's funny how, I think, honestly, a lot of people saw the movie and are wowed, and they don't really have anything to say, so they got a nitpick, so, hey, I got an opinion on this too, guys, can I join in? It's like, no one gives a shit what you thought. You know?
I think the worst was, like, two nights ago. I'm out in the kitchen, I have the TV on, the news is on, and they say, and coming up after the break, Avatar may be the second most earned money film in the world right now, but a lot of people say it's anti-American. And I was like, what?
That's hilarious, yeah. I think that's funny. But what the hell? It's still a great movie, right? No, it's anti-American. Give me a break.
Yeah, the way I get back at that is like, I mean, it's basically everything that happens in the movie we did to the Native Americans. So how is it anti-American? Is it
people need something to talk about. It's the same thing as I saw that the Directors Guild nominated James Cameron and Catherine Bigelow, who were once married. So they haven't done it yet or haven't seen, but you know they're going to play it up, especially if the Oscars that's happened. Hey, has a ex-husband and wife ever been nominated before or whatever? It's just going to be stupid. So anyway, fail. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think Avatar kicks some ass. And I want to see a lot of these other movies like that up in the air with the Clooney.
Excellent movie. Who's, excellent movie. One of the best I've seen this year.
Well, how about this?
Last year.
Jason Reitman, I bet his dad's proud of him. Old Ivan.
Oh, yeah. Ivan was even a producer on it.
Nice.
Because I thought that was cool to see Ivan Reitman's name pop up. You know, it's funny how it must be really intimidating to be the son of a famous director, producer. And I think he's actually, Jason Reitman has actually surpassed the skill level of his father.
He's
got to be proud.
Well, I'm going to say he does completely different kinds of movies, though, you know?
Yeah, but there's a different kind of touch that Jason Reitman has. It's a little more artistic, whereas Ivan Reitman is just kind of there, like in your face.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, another thing I noticed the Directors Guild nominations. I believe Quentin Tarantino was on there too. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I think that's kind of weird because I believe he's not even in the Directors Guild, is he? Or did he finally join?
I'm not sure.
I want to see more about that.
I think you have to be a member to be nominated.
Yeah, because while I was looking, I remember Robert Rodriguez quit the Directors Guild so he could put Frank Miller as the director. And he was like, well, hey, just like Quentin's not a member either. Because I remember Quentin Tarantino wanted to direct an X-Files way back when that was still on the air. And he wasn't a member of the Directors Guild, so they wouldn't let him. But I think, ER?
So well, that means he can't direct in Hollywood. He can only direct outside of where
yeah,
anywhere
but
there's
what I'm saying
it's not
is,
union.
Has he joined the union? I don't know.
I would have
to
assume he did.
I just want to read the story on that. That's more interesting than I'm real happy for Kathryn Bigelow, and I can't wait to see that film, which is called what again, Bill?
The Hurt Locker. It actually comes out this week.
Oh, not Space Trek. Yeah, The Hurt Locker. I can't wait to see that because I'm a huge fan of Kathryn Bigelow. And in fact, my kind of waned a little. I never saw K-19, The Widowmaker. But
it's a good movie. But it's not a great movie, but it's very well directed.
I'm even a fan of Blue Steel with Jamie Lee Curtis and an evil, crazy Ron Silver, huh?
Yes. Evil, crazy Ron Silver is just awesome. I mean, he always plays some of the best villains.
Now, let me paint this picture. If you want to see a movie with hot sex scenes between Jamie Lee Curtis and Ron Silver, and not only that, also Jamie Lee Curtis and Clancy Brown, hot,
the
sizzling hot. Hey, does that get you hot, everybody? Oh. Okay.
When I think hot sex scenes, I think Clancy Brown.
Yeah, no kidding. Me too. I was like, man, this...
Happy Halloween, ladies.
This yeah, movie exactly. Better have some crusty... No, wait. No, I've
crusty?
I'm thinking The Simpsons. Steve, oh. The, Mr. Krabs. Okay. Anyway.
It's like, how do you know he's crusty?
Wait, Krusty the Clown? I just did a Nick Arcade kid thing. What is the name of his character?
Pardon Space me? Trek?
Yes, Space Trek. All right, guys, let's check out What's on our TiVos? Mr. Krabs! I only watch a show every single day. Jesus. All right, guys. Before we get into our main shows, I want to talk about something. Today there's some news about, we all know that the Winter Olympics are coming. They're going to be on NBC, so a lot of times they trick up the primetime schedule a little bit. And, you know, I think sometimes, if I remember the last Winter Olympics or even the Summer Olympics, Jay Leno kind of did half a show or something like that.
Yeah.
And Conan would be on way later or not at all. But I noticed that NBC wants to put Jay Leno in Conan's time slot now for like 30 minutes to do the Jay Leno show at 10:30. Push Conan up to like 12:30 or something and do his show for an hour. So basically they're like switching the schedule back the way it used to be is what it feels like.
Can Jay Leno just please go away? I hate him so much. He's not funny.
That his whole ratings are real down. And
well, I want to play this clip because this kind of shows what kind of a dick he is. I noticed little subtle jabs he gives here. He's joking around, but also you can tell he's serious. there's a rumor that was going around that his show was going to be canceled.
Right.
And he kind of brings it up on the show, and he's like, hey, well, I guess I could go on vacation to a place called Fox, you know, like a little thread. I'll just go to Fox Network or whatever.
They'll only run you for a season or two, and they'll cancel you.
But listen, he brings up another thing that I'm kind of wondering about, and it makes him sound really bitter. He's trying to make a joke here, but if you read between the lines, he's like makes a joke about canceling a number one show. And what he's talking about is when he was on The Tonight Show. If I believe he said that he wanted his contract was up, right? And they promised
wanted to renew it, but NBC had already made a deal with Conan.
So he's thinking of that as they canceled him in that time slot, I guess. But his contract was up. But anyway, let's just check it out. Because, by the way, this is hilarious. Just listen to this humor. And what's that dude's name? The band guy? Who he talks to, his sidekick.
Kevin Eubanks.
Yeah.
The guy is like, it's like talking to the host of Nick Arcade or something. I don't know.
Go figure.
Yeah, exactly. Let's check it out.
As you may have heard, there's a rumor floating around. We were canceled. I heard it coming in this morning.
I heard it too.
On the radio. Yeah. So far, nobody said anything to me. But Kev, you know, if we did get canceled, give us time to maybe do some traveling.
That would be wonderful.
In fact, I understand Fox is beautiful this time.
It really is. It's
really beautiful this time. I don't think there's any truth to the rumors. See, it's all in my experience. NBC only cancels you when you're in first place. So we're fine. We're actually okay. The Justice Department announced they will conduct an antitrust review of Comcast's proposal deal, you know, the merge with NBC.
Right.
Yeah. Antitrust review, which is the relationship I have with NBC. Antitrust. That is what we have. There's an antitrust. Hey, Kev.
What's up, Jay?
What does NBC stand for?
What's this?
Never believe your contract, but you know.
Guys, no. Don't play this on the air.
Oh, you're right, Adam. I shouldn't have. But that clip happened before this announcement today, so I'm wondering if NBC is like, all right, Jay, we'll put you in that slot during the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll get your ratings up, and people will be like, I'm going to follow Jay to his 9 o'clock slot or something like that. Hey, that didn't work the first time. It's not going to work then, okay? But
I
just
think Jay's overstayed
his
welcome. No one cares about him anymore. He's irrelevant.
I mean, honestly, who's giving him ratings? Old people is the only thing I can think of.
And
he's not getting any ratings.
Yeah, man.
And he's still
no. I mean,
they're
like,
still
when
awake
he was
at that time.
When he was in the Tonight Show slot, and he was getting, he was getting his regular ratings that he did.
Okay.
Who the hell watched the show?
Who else was he up against, talk show wise?
Letterman.
Know, Letterman.
Letterman. Kimmel.
Nightline. I think Kimmel comes on a little bit later.
In our
Kimmel comes on at like what 12:05 or something.
But honestly, I've been watching Conan and Andy, and I think they're great. Now they got Andy on the couch with Conan, which I wanted in the first place. And Conan cracks me up every night. Jay Leno just sucks. That's all I can say.
And Andy plays really well off of Conan. I enjoy watching it when I do.
I was sad when he left the first time. You know, I was like, what? No.
It's a lot of
fun.
The
only thing I want Conan to do now with Andy is drive around with a green screen behind him.
Yeah, and the desk. I know. They need to do that. Now, guys, also, we have a little clip here. It's George Lucas was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And, you know, he's talking about a new book he did. But anyway, my favorite part here is when he first came out and Jon Stewart was having some fun with him. About the kind of inconsistencies in Star Wars. It was kind of funny. Let's check it out.
It's so nice to see you. Thank you for coming by. I guess my first question is, Senator Organa takes Leia to Alderaan, and Darth Sidious doesn't feel a disturbance in the Force? I mean, seriously, you expect me to believe that he can raise Leia on Alderaan, and the Sith Lords, they're not going to pick up anything. I mean, Kenobi is on Tatooine. He's living right up the street. I mean, nobody's going to pick up on this. I mean,
I never thought of that.
I know you didn't, but I've been thinking about it for 13 years.
Yeah, but you had to have talked to me about it 40 years ago before I would have included it, so. I was very young at the time, and
how crazy is it that this, the love and adoration and respect that people have for these movies, also the flip side is the resentment, and it, like, how do you deal with the duality that you get?
Life is duality.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Page 324.
Done. Are you able to retain a sense of humor? Do you feel
you have to
answer your critics? Do you feel where is it in your mindset?
It's a work of fiction. It's a metaphor. It's not real. And therefore, you can either like it or not like it. Whatever.
You know what's funny is there's that Phantom Menace review that's hit the internet, Bill. The guy who's basically, it's like a 70-minute review of the Phantom Menace.
I watch that thing at least once a week just for a laugh. I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. I've never laughed so hard in my life. And my favorite thing is when he talks about Star Wars is for kids, and he has little kids sitting around the TV on the floor, and on the screen is the Senate scenes where they're talking, and it's real long and boring.
The long-winded scenes.
Yeah, and it has kids gathered around the screen. And my favorite part where I just died is he shows an old clip of George Lucas from the early 80s or whatever. He's talking about, like, effects without a story is just something that's hollow. You need a decent story in order for the effects to be worth anything, basically. And he goes, right on, bro. Wait, you said that? And then it like just cuts to black. And I just thought that was awesome. It's really awesome, Steven. You need to check that out.
It is incredibly funny and clever.
What is that called so people can look that up if they haven't seen it?
Is it a
I even went back and watched their Star Trek film reviews.
Oh, I need to see that. But it's the Phantom Menace 70-minute review. I think you can find it like that, right?
Even if you just type in the Phantom Menace review part one.
Yeah, it'll be boom, like right up there.
Yeah, it's got like over a million views by now. What's weird, though, is how the viewing amounts taper off. Like everybody watches the first part, but no one continues to watch.
There's seven parts.
The funnier stuff takes place in the later reviews.
The poignant stuff is the whole chapter six, I think, is when it's like getting poignant. You know, where it's just
whenever it's talking about how after they screen the movie for the first time, they're all like in shock and how bad it is.
Yeah, if you like read between the lines when you watch that documentary called The Beginning on the Phantom Menace, and you see like people like kind of rubbing their chins and just kind of like puzzled. They just watched the movie and it looks like they're kind of getting pissed off. And they even show the scene where George is talking to the producer, Rick McCallum and Ben Burtt. And when he puts in context what Ben Burtt is talking about, like basically they're talking about the film is a mess.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really interesting to look at it from that perspective. And I never really read into it like that, but it is true. They knew that they had a mess, but it ended up not mattering because the movie made a shitload of money and that's what he wanted it to do in the first place.
Yeah.
The movie, honestly, is The Phantom Menace is a highlight reel to sell effects to other houses, other studios for their movies. And it worked. So what are you going to do?
And I think this whole excuse that Lucas came up with that the movie is a kid's movie is complete bullshit.
Oh,
because
yeah. Well,
tell me, you cannot tell me that the original Star Wars trilogy are kids' movies. They're not.
Right.
Even the original Star Wars, that's not a kid's movie. That's an adventure film.
Well, I think he had a completely different agenda. The original trilogy, at least the first movie, he had a story that was aching to get out of him. He wanted to get the story out. The prequels, that wasn't so much it. I think it was more of a business decision.
Yeah, and what cracks me up about the original trilogy is he basically had nothing to do with the movies past directing the first one.
Right. Even today, people don't realize that he didn't direct all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know? And his original cut on A New Hope, the original Star Wars, was so bad that Fox brought in three other people to re-edit it.
You know, you've sent me that rare, I don't know what it is, it's a DVD of deleted scenes from Star Wars, and I was like, man, this is going to be badass, and the scenes are horrible.
Yeah, you know what they are? They're exactly what we get in the prequels.
Right.
Long-winded, ridiculous scenes of Luke with Biggs and his friends walking around Tatooine and going to, like, Boshi Station and shit.
Bill, people need to see it just to see the dorky hat that Luke has on all the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
It's that, it's called the Classic Edition.
Right.
It's a fan edit with all the original extras
and
stuff.
Where the hell did he get that stuff, by the way?
There's this really great fan edit site linked to originaltrilogy.com, and it's just these people that really love the movies and do fan edits. The best fan edits right now are these guy, this guy that's basically redoing all the effects for all the movies. Like, he did the original Star Wars, now he's working on The Empire Strikes Back, and they are magnificent. It's amazing. The remastering work that they're doing on this stuff.
Why are they? What's the motivation to do that, though? I mean, are they making any money?
I guess because we don't have the original trilogies in their best form.
Oh, okay.
All we have are the special editions. And there was a DVD release of the original trilogy, but it was just the non-anamorphic Laserdisc transfer. So what they're doing is they're taking all the HD material they can get of the original trilogies, and they're redoing the scenes that need to be redone that aren't, you know, that aren't in the special edition. Like, they're completely removing the all the extra stuff, like going into going into Mos Eisley with like the robot and the Wampa throwing a Jawa off and all that. Or
right,
what the hell were those things called? It doesn't matter. But they're really terrific things.
Cool. Well, let's keep going, Bill. Let's talk about Lawman. Huh? That's enough of the space wars, right, Steven?
Yes.
Space Trek.
Now, before I play this clip of Lawman, one of our listeners, Alwyn Rowe, I believe that's how I say your name. Sorry if I said it wrong. But you sent me this clip during the holiday break where, you know, they still aired episodes while we weren't, and I wasn't even watching it, but he sent me this clip where Seagal mentioned a lifelong practicing, and he sent it to me, so I thought it'd be funny. It's where he takes Seagal takes his buddy to get acupuncture on his knee, where he has a sore knee, and let's check this out because it is pretty funny.
We are at Dr. Jin Wu's office, who is one of the local practitioners of Oriental herbal medicine, which I've been doing all my life, learning and practicing.
Hi, how are you, sir?
This is Johnson.
John Fortunato. Pleased to meet you,
nice
sir.
To meet you.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to introduce Johnny to Chinese medicine and see if I could get him to do some acupuncture for his knee.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, that's awesome. But, okay, Lawman. This week on the show, or it could have been last week, I don't know. I'm all messed around, you know. They had the old people driving with the wood hanging out of their car, and they're like, woo! And the lady flips them off, and they're like, whoa, that old lady just flipped us off, a 90-year-old lady. And they pull her over, and she's like, they're like, oh, everybody's been honking at us. It's like, that's because your door is wide open. Oh, it is? And you got wood hanging out the back. Oh.
How could they not feel the breeze?
But the guys, they say, here, let's push in the wood for you. They push it all the way in, and they shut their hatchback. Oh, that would have shut the whole time? And then they shut the door, and they're like, all right, see you later. And they didn't really hold her accountable for flipping them off, but I just thought that was hilarious.
I loved how the one guy kept going back to the lady going, you know, that was the best thing I saw all day, ma'am. Like, he just kept complimenting her on how ornery she is.
You old bitch.
like they didn't know the difference between a horn and a siren.
I know. Now, okay, guys. Here's what happens. They pull over this kid, 20-year-old. He has a gun. But this isn't really what I want you to listen for in this clip. I want you to listen how Steven Seagal's voice kind of changes when he's talking to his partners, and then when he starts to talk to this kid, his voice transforms. Let's go ahead and check it out. It's pretty amazing.
He's an actor. He can't.
All right, check out this car.
When they take down that yellow Caprice in the left lane.
When he did.
The driver's not wearing a seatbelt. The trunk
lock is busted. Might be a stolen car.
The dude in the backseat looks kind of nervous. Yeah.
They knew it.
Did he do his Hawkeye thing?
I already said what he did.
Step out your vehicle, sir. Please step to the back of the vehicle.
Sir, slowly step out the vehicle.
Back here, sir.
Get out of this car, man.
Where y'all coming from?
Sir, do you have any weapons or narcotics in this vehicle?
Nothing at all.
It's okay to look in there, right? Yeah. No guns in the car?
Gone.
Yeah, there we go.
We got to hook them all. Hook them all. I ain't going to do it to you, but for my safety.
Put the hand behind your back.
Who gun is that?
Me.
Yours?
Yeah.
What I asked you? I said, do you have any guns in the car? What you said?
Alex, for one thing, he's only 20. He can't legally possess a gun.
It's okay. Probable cause getting pulled over.
You didn't have your seatbelt on.
You're 20 years old, man. You can't have a pistol.
Right, but they didn't know I had it on me.
Where you bought that gun, Ella, Daddy?
Yeah, from my uncle.
We found a gun in the car, but he was just under the legal age for possession.
The reason you had that weapon was for
self-protection. I had a
rough childhood.
Yeah, at 12, my partner got killed on the side. I felt like I had to protect myself.
Oh, so you bought it for personal protection.
Yeah, I work every day, sir.
Down here in the South, a lot of people carry guns, and a lot of them are carrying legally. I'm all for that. I just want people who are carrying firearms to use them legally and responsibly.
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lick.
Huh? I'm not exactly sure what charge they're going to go with, but if it is a misdemeanor, there's always a possibility that he can cut you a summons.
You don't even go to jail.
He's probably going to have to seize that weapon.
Yeah.
You ain't tripping about that, right?
I ain't worrying about that. And you're my grandma's favorite actor.
I'm hoping you ain't got no prize, man. You got a misdemeanor. Nothing. You got nothing, baby.
What?
Baby?
You can't go ahead.
Just call him baby.
Does he have any convictions, felony convictions?
Negative, sir.
Negative.
All right, Temple, thank you. Nothing at all on any three of them. And the weapon's good. Get him out there.
See y'all cool? See what I'm talking about?
The kid says he got the gun from his uncle. The gun came back clean. It wasn't used in a crime, and it wasn't reported stolen. We're going to clear him and let him go. You're not old enough to legally possess that firearm, so to save everybody a lot of heartache, you a lot of trouble, we're going to take the gun. Y'all ought to go get a lottery ticket.
I'll get his autograph.
I want your autograph.
Okay.
Ride it to my grandmother, please.
My grand. I would have died if it was
first
mom.
All right,
thanks.
We're happy we got a gun off the street without ruining his future.
Got me some snacks, yeah?
All of a sudden, he's speaking jive.
I cannot believe that they pulled this dude over with a gun and let him go. That's crazy.
Well, they take the gun, but still.
Check it, bleed. Bro was on.
He was talking jive. Am I right? The dude was talking jive. I'm not trying to be racist. The dude was talking jive. Listen to this.
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lick.
Huh?
Yeah.
What the?
That is jive. That's right out of Airplane.
You ain't tripping about that, right?
I ain't worrying about that.
You ain't tripping about that,
baby.
Now, before we need to take a break, but before we do, I want to go ahead and blow this Chef Academy shit out of the way.
Yeah.
Now, Chef Academy, they've been throwing too many episodes at us. Like, yeah, I want to watch the show. I want to support it, Bravo, but stop showing two episodes a night every week, even during Christmas, because I can't watch it, okay?
Can't take it anymore.
Now, this week, the guy who we all know he wants a possible gangbang and have sex with every single person on the show, am I right? It doesn't matter what age you are, he wants a gangbang. He wants to nail male, female. I'm just pretty sure he wants to screw a cake on the show, too. Probably have some sex with a pastry, something like that. Am I right?
Or cream puff.
Yeah, with cream puff.
He'll stuff
like
a
that.
Turkey special for you.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Thank you.
Wow.
It's a sacrilege.
Yes, it was. Yes. Sacrilegious. Now, okay, the dude decides. The guy's got tats all over him. You know, he's one of those people, he can't express himself syllabically, so he's going to get tattoos to tell his story to everyone, right? So he's like, hey, I go to the Chef Academy. I'm going to get a tattoo of Novelli School on my neck. So everyone
because
can
that
see.
Makes total sense.
I think it would have been cool if he got the Bravo logo on the back of his head, but let's go and check this out. He takes, like, this chick who, the kind of nerdy chick who's, like, bewitched. Remember that? She's like the bitwitched. Yeah, she's like the
bitwitched.
Yes, exactly. And she goes with him because she's into the bad boys, I guess, even though she's engaged to be married. And
yeah, that's a little weird.
The guy's probably nerdy, I guess, and this guy's he's in the Navy, you know, he's on a sub, and he's got tats. But let's go ahead and check this out and see how everyone reacts to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. And hey, chef, before we start, I think that you need to see something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This is extraordinary. You know, you're the first one who did that, actually, who actually tattooed my name. I'm actually feel very thrilled because every single tattoo represents a very important part of your life.
What it does.
I'm actually very delighted, as much as Steven, to be part of it. Because you're a good bloke, you know, you're a fantastic man.
I think Coop's tattoo is a very interesting choice, but having Nobility Academy tattooed on my neck, I don't have those kind of balls.
Very well done. How long it took?
Oh, an hour.
Coop's tattoo. One of many. He's got a lot. Very prominent placement. Kiss ass.
She got one too.
You too? Show me that.
Hers is the
best.
bon vivant.
Yes, to remind me to always eat good food and drink good wine and live life to the fullest.
I think Carissa tattoo is a big mistake. I mean, clearly, she spelled it wrong. It's very rare to say bon vivant. You usually say bon vivant in general for anyone.
So, Carissa, basically your tattoo is a mistake.
So her tattoo's Jax.
Yeah, she's the bon vivant with an E.
I would say, I guess they could put an asterisk and cover the E up.
or they could put an asterisk or a apostrophe and an S.
Now, what's worse, the bon people they get the crazy tribal shit all over them, but the people who just want a word tattooed on them, that looks worse. I'm sorry, but just getting a word on you. You know what? Just get the word word on you, like word.
Word, Ricks.
I'm going to get this tattooed right on my pectoral muscle, Steven.
Space Trek,
because I'm a big fan of that movie, man. Is it Star Wars or Star Trek?
Is that the podium?
Shit.
Let me look at my pec.
Space Trek? What the hell? I thought you'd put Star Wars on my pec. Damn it! But, okay, we've got one more Chef Academy clip before we take a break. I'm sorry. Now, okay, you know the little kind of the wannabe bald guy who also wants a possible gangbang bill? He's kind of the more scared of Novelli. I love how he starts tripping over his words when Novelli's talking to him and he gets all sweaty. He's being questioned about his meal, and he starts second-guessing everything he's saying, and he's kind of tripping over his own words, which is kind of funny to see him squirm. Because I know, you know, Novelli, he loves that too. He loves making him nervous.
Yes.
And the way he says a certain word here, I think, is brilliant. His French way of saying this word. You guys will know it when you hear it. But also the girl Sarah on the show who drives everyone nuts because she's a drama queen. Everything's about her. There was one episode they were going to go sailing and fishing. She's like, I can't get on the boat. I can't sail. I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of boats.
She's got a pumpkin head, too.
Yeah, she's got a weird shaped head. It's almost like she's almost hot, but she looks like a carnival mirror, like the reflection.
Yeah, like exactly.
She's the carnival mirror reflection. And the other side, whoever's looking in the mirror is hot. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, she eventually goes fishing.
It's true.
And everything's fine. But let's check this out. And it's funny. She kind of blatantly lies to Novelli here. I'm pretty sure she does. And that guy's like, I can't believe she just did that. There's no way that's true. But let's check this out.
I come to the point where now I have to be harder with the students. Because I want them to be focused on the details.
I'm
Wait,
going, Chef.
What?
Focus.
The center should be a nice medium, right?
You think this is medium rare?
No, that's more medium. I think because it was resting, it was mid-rare when I pulled it.
Kyle showed up a little bit of confusion in a way of cooking the beef. He was telling me medium rare, and it was medium.
It was mid-rare at the moment when I put it on the plate.
And he kept on about medium rare, but it was just purely medium.
I think it's close to... mid-rare to medium.
Somebody
Most of the time, you know, he's
box.
Got some good ideas and got some good questions, but dude, shut up.
If you send it to your restaurant, do you think somebody's going to send it back to you?
I wouldn't have sent this.
Before, where did you serve it?
I had it mid-rare when I pulled it off. And I believe my flavors are there. I had it mid-rare when I pulled it off.
Can you remind me, how many dots have you got?
I have one dot, Chef.
Okay.
Shut up for 5 seconds.
Sarah, speak about your dish, please.
Well, this dish was kind of a challenge for me because this is probably the second time I've cooked a filet in my entire life.
Really?
When she told Novelli that's the second time she's ever cooked a filet, I felt like, why would you do that? I'm
pretty damn sure Sarah's cooked more fillets than two in her life.
Yeah, she's lying, isn't she?
She's so irritating. And she I cannot wait until she's gone.
And Bill, she got 3 stars. She should have been eliminated already. And he's like,
yeah, but you know,
I'm going to be nice. You get no dot. Everybody happy or whatever. It's like, no.
Why I just want everyone to focus again.
Focus.
Oh, focus. I thought it was focus.
I don't have those kind of balls.
What? What does that mean?
Her balls are a little smaller.
Now, Bill, we all need to focus during our break, right?
Focus.
Yes, yes.
Wait, what is that?
Focus.
Oh, focus.
Pardon me? Space track?
Yes, space track. Now, guys, let's take a break. We'll be right back. You hear?
I ain't tripping, miss. I'm going to take
baby?
My
baby?
Yeah.
Right, Mr. Seagal.
We're going to take our kicks. What does he say? Take his what? Take our
his lick.
Sign your name on the run it down.
Yeah, I'm hoping you ain't got no prize, man. You got a misdemeanor. Nothing. You got nothing, baby.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody. We'll be right back.
Why would you do that?
You know, it happened right here 20 years ago.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. I'd like to teach the world to
find a world to come.
Can't beat the feeling.
Nintendo game. I'm stuck in the past and I gotta get out. Quick! Or we all fade away to nothing. Uh-oh, bullies! Hey, Vic! Have a mop, musclehead! I'll clean it up, Mom. I promise. This takes perfect timing. Almost! Mom? Dad? Vic?
Back to the Future. It's almost like being in the movie. An interactive game from LJN.
I'm Popeye the Quaker Man. I eat all the oats I can.
Popeye! Space creatures are stealing sweetie! Where's the spinach?
Can the spinach? I want me instant Quaker oatmeal. It's the hot part of me balanced breakfast. You forget something!
Ahoy, now there's a Popeye comic book and specially marked boxes of instant Quaker oatmeal.
Popeye wants a Quaker!
1, 2, 3!
Blast-o-matic!
Give it a shot! Blast-o-matic, it's hot, hot, hot!
Nerds!
Blast-o-matic! 3 times the fun!
Blast-o-matic!
Shoot 3 balls instead of one!
Nerds!
Blast-o-matic!
Nerds!
Blast-o-matic! Give it a shot! Blast-o-matic, it's hot, hot, hot!
Nerds!
Blast-o-matic! Ooh, give it a shot!
Shoots 3 balls, no reloading!
Nerds!
Blast-o-matic!
Thunder Jets Fruit Snacks are taking off. Super Fruity F-16s, F-14 Tomcats, SR-71 spy planes, MiG-27s, and stealth bombers with a sonic boom of real fruit taste. Thunder Jets, the fruit snack that goes fast.
Doctor, my belly aches.
You've got butterflies in your stomach.
You got a county horse.
Operation.
A broken heart, of course.
Operation!
The whitest crime is true!
Operation!
I'm the doctor for you!
Operation! Remove the pieces and collect your fee, but don't touch the sides!
Water on the knee!
Operation!
$1,000 fee!
Operation!
A bare rib or two!
Operation!
I'm the doctor for you!
Next, please!
Operation! From Milton Bradley!
This here's the Cruncher, and these are tough tracks, like Gravedigger, King Crunch, Carolina Crusher, Equalizer,
Monster Mondo, and Mondo Trucks.
He sold separately from Galoo. Are you tough enough for tough tracks?
Put your hands on the vine, bring the monkey up the tree.
Do the monkey go, monkey go.
He's a model toting chimpanzee.
Get your monkey to get rid of your marbles. Whoever loses them first wins. Go, monkey, go. You'll go ape for it from Galoo.
I'm off with Cosmic to a land far away.
Look, Ronald, we're going through the Milky Way.
It's different from home. It hardly looks real.
Huh?
Why, here you have to fly through McDonald's to get a Happy Meal.
Get G.I. Joe!
It's the gigantic G.I. Joe General with lights, battle sounds, and a cannon that really fires.
Fire!
A real American hero!
G.I.
Joe General comes with everything you see here.
Uh-oh, I used too much magic. Now all the colors of me marshmallow lucky charms are mixed up.
Hope you kids have figured out the right colors.
Got it. It's pink hearts, orange stars, yellow moons, green clovers,
blue diamonds, purple horseshoes, and red balloons.
Oh, thanks for helping me fix me lucky charms. There's nothing like them, especially when they're the back to normal part of our complete breakfast.
Mmm, as good as ever.
Marshmallowy delicious. And gonna stay that way.
You gotta love the new WWF ring. Watch the Macho King fly off the ropes with his elbow smash into that chump Brutus Beefcake.
No way! I'll be stunning gun, and the Macho King will be sleeping, yeah.
The WWF ring won't break even when Akeem goes after Smash.
I'll demolish him!
Rick Rude's rude awakening will stop Jake and that snake.
Nobody gets up when Damian and I are finished.
Whoa. WWF ring comes with flag and championship belt.
Think fast! Let's do it!
A is for apple.
J is for text.
Big crunchy Apple Jacks.
It's the one that's apple sweet.
Apple Jacks is cool to eat.
We got some sweet moves with Apple Jacks.
Real apples and cinnamon make Kellogg's Apple Jacks an apple-y sweet part of a complete breakfast.
Apple-y sweet Apple Jacks.
He's better. He's a mobilizer. Got a mega core. Magnetizer. Box it. Boost it. Power pack. He's a Lego maniac. Got a radical. Shield protector. On his awesome vector attack. He's spaced out. That's a fact. He's a Lego maniac. He's a galactic equalizer. In his vertical ionizer. Recool sense. He's totally whacked. He's a Lego maniac.
Lego M-tron collection. Each set sold separately from Lego.
Fruit snacks, the party's in the bag.
Everybody, we're back, and it's been quite a while since we've talked about the Cake Boss, huh? I've so missed the Cake Boss and its stage drama. Am I right? Stage drama.
That's not staged. It's real. It's reality.
You know, the one episode, this week's episode, we'll talk about the Hell's Angels episode first, actually, because that was last week, I believe. But this week's episode, Buddy was just an asshole to everybody on the show. Another thing is, you know, they're making all these wedding cakes. It's wedding season. They're doing cakes out there. He treats everyone like shit on this episode. But anyway, let's go back to the motorcycle episode.
No, I was saying he's getting too big for himself, you know.
Oh, yeah,
He's Hollywood now.
Oh, totally. But I think,
yeah, right.
think something's going on at home. You know what I'm saying?
Hollywood Jersey.
Whatever.
Now, the Hell's Angels show up to the shop, and this is these motorcycle guys come up to the door, and Anthony's like, hello? And they're like, we need to speak to Buddy. And it's like, holy shit, it's the Sons of Anarchy at the back door.
They should have got that guy's cover band that does all the music for Sons of Anarchy to do the song.
Oh, totally. I thought it was the band from Left 4 Dead 2 at first. The Midnight Riders. But, Buddy's like, oh, can I help you? And they're like, yeah, we need you to make a cake. You know, it's like, uh-oh, it's the mafia guys all over again. You're going to make me make a offer you can't refuse. So what is... Now, Buddy, we know he's a very creative cake guy, right? He's a genius. His imagination, his, you know, his, what do you say, his creativity,
it's off the charts.
Yeah. So it's Hell's Angels. They want to do a cake. I don't even remember what it's for, what the cake's for. Gee, I wonder what the cake is going to be. What could it possibly be? Hell's Angels? Oh, I know. It's a friggin' motorcycle. And let's hear about what he puts on the motorcycle. This is awesome.
I am going to make you guys an awesome, awesome cake. I mean, it's going to look so authentic. Guys are going to want to jump on it right away.
Right on.
That's what we're going to do. I'm going to build a frame, and then I'm going to put cereal treats and pound cake to make the bite. I'm going to take modeling chocolate and chrome out the whole motor.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to have flames on the gas tank. It's going to look great.
And there he is riding his cake away, right? Man, this music's rocking.
Hey, yo, Joe.
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, brother?
Yo, Joe.
How's it going, buddy? Good, man.
All right.
Well, thank you for bringing a bike down, man.
Oh, buddy.
I'm making a cake for the Hell's Angels.
Cool.
And, you know, they wouldn't even let me sit on this. So I said, you know what? I know Joe has a bike. I says, he'll let me take his bike for a ride.
Absolutely.
I totally appreciate that, man. You got an awesome bike.
Joe must be outlaw. He's not in.
My whole life I wanted a bike. You know, but I had to promise my mother would never do it. I didn't want to break her heart.
I just saw Buddy on a motorcycle. He drives a motorcycle.
Look at his hat.
Yes,
until
I get his. Maybe he's
looking
coming around again.
We'll see.
He's going to get it from me, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Not a better feeling than when you're on a bike and you're riding and the wind's blowing
riding
through your hand.
Riding around the block and
nice and, it's awesome.
You sure it was him? It was definitely. There he is, right there. Look, like a motorcycle.
He's
Wait,
going like he's
you?
Wobbling at 5 miles an hour.
He goes in his wobbles. He's gonna come around the back.
I'll be waiting for you right in the back. Ah. Are you out of your mind? You got 3 children. You're acting like a kid.
Ma, I'm a grown man.
Listen, I'm your mother, and this is unacceptable.
All that
you
music.
Make sure this is your last time.
Just wanted to
this
take.
This is a dangerous. I don't like motorcycles.
I just wanted to take a ride.
I don't care what you wanted. Promise me on your father. You're not going to go. You got 3 children. You got to act a little bit more responsible.
I am responsible.
No, this is not acceptable. And you get back to work.
Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, and you better make it your business that this is the first and last time I catch you. Because if not, you're going to hear from me. And this was very upsetting for me, Joe. Go ahead. Get it out of here.
Joe's getting the hell out of there.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Get back to work.
Guys, don't play this on the air.
No, too late. You know, the best part of that was when they showed the camera up in the window and they were like laughing. Like, ah.
She reminds me of Tony Soprano's mom.
Oh, I know. She's horrible.
Do you think maybe she tried to put a hit out on Buddy before?
Oh, I would love that. That would be awesome. Junior wanted to run Carlos, but it never happened, so he's pissed.
I have a feeling that their childhood sucked.
Oh, I know.
Are you
God, that
your
woman's
mind?
Voice.
I know. She gives me a headache, all right?
I don't know how Buddy just doesn't pull back and punch her in the face.
He's like, I'm a grown man.
Back on the bike and ridden
I'm
off.
So beaten down over here. He's like, Ma, I was going around the block 5 miles an hour. What's going to happen to me?
I love the one sister. She's like, I just saw Buddy on a bike. He's on a motorcycle. He's out there, out front, he's on a motorcycle. It's like, what? Okay. Yeah, and?
Yeah, he's a grown man, like he said. I'm a grown man over here.
You got kids to worry about, buddy. Moving at 10 miles an hour, you might scrape your chin.
You know what his sister is?
It's like,
kiss ass.
Exactly.
How old are his kids?
I know.
You know?
It's funny, but... Okay, this week on Cake Boss, they had to do a lot of wedding cakes, right? So Buddy, he's flying off the handle, he's yelling at everyone. Let's go ahead and check it out. And I think he goes over the line when he yells at Anthony, our favorite delivery driver besides Stretch, right?
Mm-hmm. Anthony's done nothing to him.
Let's check it out.
I noticed there's a big problem.
Oh, not for nothing.
That's the front?
Big problem.
That's supposed to be the front, yeah? There's ganache inside?
So Frankie cut the legs at the bottom tier too thin, so it's not holding the weight as good. You should have filled this cake instead of in four, in three layers. You should have used thicker layers. It's friggin' ganache inside. Ganache is thick and fudgy. I gotta finish this cake. And it looks like, you know what? Anthony's family, so he'll be at the wedding too. But he's the only one that can help Danny make all these deliveries, including Vinny and Daniela's. It's gonna be tight. Listen, you can't screw up. You gotta read the list. You gotta make sure everything's there. You gotta make sure everything gets there on time, not broke, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just so there you know.
All right.
Your delivery skills suck.
You guys make so many mistakes, but I don't say nothing.
Okay, listen.
You tell him,
right
Anthony.
Here, we got more wedding cakes than we ever had. Okay, I'm giving you fair warning. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, go to the sink, look at yourself in the mirror, uh-huh. Throw water on your face, uh-huh. Open your eyes wide, uh-huh. Clean your ears out good, and make sure that you're ready for war tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I don't want to see no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right, tomorrow.
That's fine, yeah.
Done. Go. What did you just do?
Wow. I would have told my Uncle Buddy to go F himself right there. Busted a cap in his ass. What do you think of that? So, yeah, that pretty much is what happened on this week's Cake Boss. And then, you know, he's making him deliver. He's calling him, where are you? And it shows him delivering to all the different people. Man, what a pain in the ass.
Where do you think he is, dipshit?
He's delivering all the cakes you told him he needed to go to war about. You know?
He's going to the mattresses. Now he's got to pay attention to his damn phone every 5 minutes ringing.
What's the world coming to?
All right, guys, let's talk about... oh, God. Let's talk about heroes, all right?
Can we
make this quick?
Let's talk about Space Trek. Yeah,
let's try to fit heroes in 5 minutes or less.
Okay, here it is. There was a two-hour episode of Heroes, and there was a lot of talking and people... basically, Heroes is the Phantom Menace of TV shows.
George Lucas wrote these episodes.
You know what I mean? It's just like...
you can either like it or not like it. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't have to
Such
like it or not like it. I'm just going to watch a show and talk about it. How's that? Okay? You know, I need to focus on what
Trying
I'm doing.
Trying to be indifferent about it.
Focus.
Exactly. Now, we all found out, okay, Nathan's dead. I sound like Joe Pesci. Okay, Nathan's dead, and Peter and Claire are pissed off at Peter's mom and Noah and Matt Parkman. They don't even know who Matt Parkman is because he's not on the show right now, but it would have been
Where
funny.
Where is Matt Parkman?
I would have liked one scene with Peter going, I hate that Matt Parkman. But here's a long, drawn-out, boring scene of Claire and Peter talking, and I'm going to cut my nails during this. Let's check it out.
Hey, where's your dad? Didn't see him out there.
I asked him not to come.
You pissed?
You're not?
I love he's cutting vegetables for no reason.
Good, because you're about the only person who's on the same page as me.
You know why she's cutting with a knife?
That's
she's
a hell of a lie.
Trying to protect us.
Yeah, that's fine. I get that. I mean, did they really think that they were going to get away with it?
Yeah, I know.
Forever? That we would just never find out? Ow!
Karma's a bitch, Claire.
It's my healing.
Oh. Chopping broccoli!
I have the Haitian's power. I'll turn it off.
No, don't.
Let me find you a band-aid.
Let me stab you in the heart.
A band-aid. I have not used a band-aid in forever. It's nice to feel pain.
Remember Matt?
Feel normal.
He was a guy.
Or anything but...
He was
normal.
Shopping broccoli.
No. Morning, Nathan.
I didn't know
not
she could feel
morning.
Pain. I just thought she could die.
No, she can't
but we're
pain.
Here to do. To cut lemons and lime. Remember that?
Everyone's got multiple powers on this show.
Stupid jerk.
Yeah, you tell him, Claire.
I can't believe he's gone.
Why are they? Yeah, that's another thing. Was Nathan ever nice to anyone?
No.
Well, I hope he could hunt them down last season. He was a terrible navigator. I mean, for a guy who could fly.
And hit his own guy.
Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
He gave me endless grief for dating a guy who could fly.
I'm glad he said that. I'm dating a girl.
I do.
Whatever happened to that kid? What was his name?
West. He goes to NYU. We're Facebook friends.
So it's a stupid name.
Oh,
okay.
That's telling stories.
Now that we know where he is.
He does a stupid podcast on Ustream. Oh, but yeah, and so Peter gets the flying ability. But anyway, what else happens? Let's see.
You know what I love how convoluted the show is or has become is she can't feel pain because Siler, whenever he took her power, for some reason when he was looking at her brain, he screwed it up so she can't feel pain anymore. So that's why she can't. She used to be able to, like in the beginning. She could feel pain.
Oh, really?
But now
I didn't even remember that much. Now, but yeah, but also Peter, he's like, oh, I have the Haitian's power. Let me turn it off. I was like, oh, okay. Is there a switch somewhere? Let me just yank on my dog.
Yeah, it's
down
on
here.
The back of his head.
It's like, what?
C-3PO.
It's like, how does it? Here, let me just turn this off. All right, now you have your powers again, Claire. So,
that's a perfect sound.
What did you just, say? Oh, my God, it's Slayer. Hold on. All right, Siler, I'm all ready for you. And I love Siler. No motivation whatsoever. When he was at the carnival, they treated him nice. They tried to help him. He wanted to help him, remember. But he shows up to the carnival. He's like, I'm angry, and I'm gonna kill you, Samuel. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm going to create a vortex, a tornado. Oh, now you're dead. Okay, tattoo girl, go have sex with him and get information from him. Okay, I will, but secretly, I also want him to kill you, Samuel. Oh, okay. And let's talk about the worst thing about the entire 2 hours, and it's Hero. He's gone geek fanboy crazy in his head where he keeps calling Ando Sancho Panza, and he's referencing Star Wars, Land of the Lost. He's, I don't know, what is
Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, when he starts saying, the people of Caprica, I wanted to shoot him in the friggin' head. Like, shut the hell up already.
He keeps saying they have to rescue
Dr. Watson.
Dr. Watson from Castle Arkham.
Yeah, from Arkham.
And it's like,
oh, God. And then Ando's like, oh, wait, Arkham, Batman. It's like, shut
up. The scene where he puts it all together actually made me want to stab myself in the foot.
And I don't, where did they actually think, hey, the nerdy fanboys will love this scene? No, they wouldn't, dude. They would not. You just basically embarrassed everyone for ever liking anything on your shitty show is what you did.
Yeah.
You made us ashamed of ourselves. Like, you should be of yourselves for creating this shit every week. You have no idea where your story is going. You're just going through the motions. You know, there are people in this world, there are artists, there are writers who have stories dying to get out of them. They can't find jobs. They're out of work. They want people to know these. They want to express themselves. But instead, Tim Kring, he's got his idea here of Hero just talking shit. You know, it's just they really need to work this shit out. You know what I'm saying?
The thing that annoyed me the most was the guy that can multiply and how he was basically stalking Claire, and then she runs into the funhouse, and then he tells his multiples to cover the other doors.
No, you know what? You know what was bad about that? Okay, the guy said, Claire didn't want to go anywhere. She didn't want to go anywhere, right? She was comfortable being at the carnival. Samuel says, you keep an eye on her. What if she tries to leave? Don't let that happen. So what does he do? He stalks her. He looks every time she looks, he's watching her, makes her uncomfortable where she wants to leave. She didn't want to leave to begin with. Now she
does.
But
I love that she runs into the funhouse. This guy has been with the carnival for who knows how long. He doesn't know which one is the false mirror.
And she hits him over the head with a chair.
Oh, my God. It's the show. Just, they have no idea what they're doing. They sit in a room and then they go, okay, so how do we get from this scene to the next scene?
Are they?
How do we get from this scene to the next scene?
Are they going to explain how Samuel knows?
They've got a soap opera writer in there feeding them story ideas.
I know, but Samuel, is he God? How does he know all these superpowered people and what their powers are? He sent the deaf girl a cello, and he's like, your power's not just looking at this. You can also attract other people. Like,
and then he uses her as a siren to find the retarded homeless aborigine.
Which we call the magic Negro.
Yeah, the magic Negro who can touch the ground and create grass.
And we've talked about that a long time ago on the show. Like, there was this article in Cracked or whatever, movies with magic Negroes, like The Green Mile.
The Green Mile.
What is that golfing movie? Legend of Bagger Vance.
Legend of Bagger Vance.
Just all these movies where there's the mystical, full of wisdom guy who's got magic. You know, Kick the Can segment of Twilight Zone, the movie. Scatman Crothers. The Magic Negro. So they've got this guy. And there's a scene where he takes the black guy with Claire out into a field. And he's like, I need water. And he's like, oh, he parts the ground like Moses, the Red Sea, and the water comes up. And he sticks his hands in the soil, and everything turns green. And Claire's like, okay, Samuel told me he killed his brother and everything, and I was real disturbed, but this is beautiful. You know, just like, shut the hell up. This is a goddamn show.
Yeah, it's really painful. I love that, you know. Yeah. For shits and giggles, I just typed in movies with magic Negroes, and there's actually a listing for magical Negro on Wikipedia, and it lists them in fiction. I'm cracking up.
It's funny, because a lot of them are, like, normal movies that are, like, actually movies that aren't bad, like, hey, Bagger Vance, that's entertaining or whatever, but then they also have Kazam on there.
Yeah, like Mother Abigail in The Stand.
Oh, totally.
Moses the Clock Man in The Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh, I forgot about that, dude. Who else?
I don't think that Ellis Boyd Redding from, Morgan Freeman from The Shawshank Redemption was a magic Negro.
No, not at all.
I don't think that counts.
He was just a good friend.
The Oracle from The Matrix.
Unbelievable!
That's awesome. I never would have thought of that. But you know what's funny about Heroes or whatever? We don't have to talk about it anymore because the show's a disaster. But
I just have to say one more thing about it is the tattoo power now that he possesses.
Yeah.
No.
You know what was funny about that? It was so awkward, the scene where he finds his special purpose, like the jerk. He sees a picture. He sees a picture, the tattoo on his arm, and we don't get to see what it is yet. So he goes away. And by the way, I still don't know how he can fly. It doesn't make any sense. He's hovering in front of Claire's window, but they show his arm down. So it's her face right side up to us because his arm's down. But then he lifts it up and looks at it again. Wouldn't her face be upside down that he's looking at?
Yes.
It's so awkward. Did you think that too, Bill?
Like, it really needed him to go, well, hello, Claire.
No, remember, what he says, Bill, is he goes, well, hello, cheerleader.
Oh, cheerleader.
It's like,
what the hell?
I wanted to open the window and go, I haven't been a cheerleader for two seasons.
But what does the power entail? What is the purpose of this ridiculous piece of shit power?
He doesn't want her power. He wants to have a relationship and marry her, I think. He wants to settle down.
You know, it's so far beyond. I'm confused. I'm bewildered. I want to understand, but I just don't care.
They were never related. Remember, that was all a lie.
A ruse, okay. I forget because I'm thinking
it's so convoluted.
Siler has gone to take my.
That's right. It was a ruse.
Good old Uncle Siler.
You know, you should always just remember this, Steven.
Nothing matters.
See what I'm talking about?
Huh?
You got nothing, baby.
What? It doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they've got nothing. He resists nothing, baby.
Now, guys.
It was 2 hours of just absolute excruciating pain to get through.
It really was. And sometimes I'm entertained by it, like, slightly, because it's so dumb. This was just like, why are you doing this to me?
And they brought back the puppet master.
What is with the puppet dude?
It was such a bad scene. Like, oh, I'm evil. No, wait, I want to be good.
Is this guy like some fan favorite everyone loves? Bring the puppet guy back. I love that guy. No one likes this dude. Everyone hates him. He's stupid. It's the dumbest power I've ever seen in anything. But you keep bringing him back.
He's part of that web series, right?
Is he Tim Kring's brother-in-law? Or is he part of Slow Burn?
No, Slow Burn. There wasn't a Slow Burn this week, was there?
No.
I don't have those kind of balls.
Oh, that was this week.
What, slow burning balls?
Bill, this week's Slow Burn. Let's check it out.
I don't have those kind of balls.
Tune in next week for another installment. Now, guys, let's go ahead and get to... no more heroes, all right?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yes, exactly. That's what I feel after heroes. Let's talk about Dollhouse, huh? Dollhouse is a
4 hours of a lot of fun.
Dollhouse.
Space Track?
No. Dollhouse. Yeah, Bill, 4 hours of Dollhouse. I was like, oh, how am I going to get through this? It was the best 4 hours of the show there's been.
Yeah, I had a blast watching it.
It was a lot of fun. They had Alpha back. They had all sorts of mysteries revealed from the show. It was really cool. And, you know, we were talking about how Alpha... As you're watching this episode with him, he's kind of like a genius, mastermind, bad guy. I was like, he's the Joker. I just figured out. He's the Joker from Batman. And they did a great job.
And he's got the whole suit on, and he channels it so well.
He's so much fun to watch, too. And they did this whole thing where, what is her name? Adele? She's no longer in charge of the Dollhouse, the evil... Keith Carradine, is that right? Yeah.
The Rossum Corporation.
Yeah, the Rossum Corporation. There's all this mystery and stuff, and we all know it's eventually going to come back to the attic. They've talked about the attic since, I think, the pilot episode. What is this thing? You go to the attic if you misbehave or you do something to be in trouble, and eventually where it leads to Echo being put in the attic along with Victor and Sierra. And basically, you're kind of wired up, and it's like your worst nightmare. And I think Sierra got the shit end of that stick, where it's the guy who...
Oh, my God, yeah.
...was trying to rape her and kill her. She was repeatedly there, and he was like a zombie or whatever, like on top of her.
Zombie rapist.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing. So I think she got the worst.
I think Victor's was pretty horrifying, too.
Yeah, was he in Afghanistan or something? Like, repeatedly killing himself? Like, he was... also the enemy soldier, so he was basically beating the living crap out of himself.
Nice.
But also Echo would repeatedly try to escape and every time be foiled, where I guess it would just drive you insane. But what's really cool about it is they're all jacked into this attic, and there's this some kind of dark creature after her named Arcane.
Yeah, like you said, it looked like Storm Shadow.
Yeah, he looked like, Snake Eyes.
Or Snake Eyes, sorry.
From G.I. Joe. And there's, even later when he has a sword, it's like, that is Snake Eyes. What the hell is Snake
Arcane.
Eyes
doing?
I am Arcane. And the dickhead agent who always wanted to kill Echo in season one, he got put in the attic. He's in there, and he meets up with Echo, and he's trying to explain to her that he's been... running around through all these different people's personal hells trying to find this Arcane guy who's killing everybody. It's like become his obsession where he's just going to everyone's different minds. It's really crazy when you think about it. The only thing I think of is they're all in a Matrix-type scenario. Mm-hmm. But each of their minds is
somehow
its own room in reality. Yeah, they're all connected. And when they finally catch up to this Arcane guy, it turns out to be this nerdy little scientist guy. And this is where they question him. And I thought this was pretty cool. A lot of exposition in this scene, but by the time we get to this episode, Bill, this information is really awesome to get.
Yeah, and what's great about the exposition is it's never boring.
No,
it's always
really
revealing
cool.
something.
His reality in the attic was like this doomsday scenario where everyone was crazy. Like they weren't like raid zombies or anything, but they were just crazy people looting and killing each other.
What it was is they were brain wiped. And like, you know, they were all dolls, but they were in their feral state.
Right, exactly what Alpha did in the previous episode. When he took over the dollhouse, he gave them all a virus where he turned them all into just raving lunatics attacking everyone.
Oh, and we cannot forget that they did the one of the absolute best ways to eliminate a boring character for four episodes. Tamo Pinniket, Alpha brain wiped him.
Yeah, he totally.
So he's in a coma for 4 hours of, you know, these episodes, and it's so nice that he isn't running around and with his.
That was really cool the way they did that, because Alpha is like, why does she love you? I don't get it. What is it about you? You're so boring, basically. So he straps him into the chair and he's like looking at his mind, like sucking his brain out, basically, you know, all of his brain activity, whatever, putting him on a, so he puts it in himself. So now, Hilo's brain is in him. No, not in his brain, but you know what I mean. His thought.
Paul Ballard. I just thought of the name. I couldn't remember his name.
Or Ballard. As the adult. So he's in there and he's like, I don't see why she loves you. There's nothing special about you. You know, he still doesn't get it. You know, it's like, she just loves him. All right. The guy's like, has a swagger as he walks, you know,
and he knows Muay Thai boxing.
Yeah.
It's that chemistry, dude.
And I even thought it was cool. They brought Patton Oswalt back for that episode.
That was a great episode. It was funny and it was even moving at parts. Oh, I was like, wow, Patton Oswalt's a really good actor.
And I can't forget that Echo has every personality she's ever had, and she can access it in any time she wants.
Yes.
At first, it takes her a minute to do it, but now she's gotten where she can do it instantly. So
I love that scene where Topher went, great, I'm obsolete.
Yeah, because she can just do whatever she wants. And they even put new stuff into her, like the military things, when Victor... You know, get stuck
maybe
in that
Joss
collision.
Whedon just needs to be threatened with cancellation from the beginning.
Yeah, this almost feels like, I honestly think that, like, you know how Lost, when they announced an end date, they were like, okay, we're going to get to the story and finish this shit. It almost felt like he was like, okay, we're getting a second season. We're probably not going to make it to the third season. Let's go ahead and finish the story, you know, and close all this stuff out. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of it.
They are.
So here they are in the attic, and they talk to this guy who is arcane and question him. Let's check it out.
This is wrong here. It's too dangerous.
That was the idea. Who are you?
How did you do that? You people are aware.
Why do you call yourself arcane?
Sounded badass. No, please. If I die, there'll be nobody left to take down Rossum.
That's my life.
You were trying to kill us.
It was a necessary evil. I was trying to take out Rossum's mainframe computer.
Wait, we heard something about that. The mainframe is vulnerable.
How do we take it out? Is it accessible from inside the attic?
Tell us how to destroy it.
No. You don't understand. That's the problem. You, me, everybody in the attic, we are the mainframe.
What do you mean we are the mainframe?
We all have... repeating worst-case scenarios, right? Problems we're continually trying to solve?
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's because the people in the attic, our brains are being used as processors, human computers.
How is that even possible?
Well, it's more practical, really. The human brain is 20 times more powerful than the most massive multi-processing computer in the world. Rossum has hundreds of them.
Hundreds?
Well, many attics all network to a central hub. Our brains continually soaked with adrenaline from the fear, running on maximum the processing power behind Rossum.
And you're killing people.
I'm trying to put them out of their misery, freeing them from an eternal hell. But mostly I was trying to take out Rossum's number of CPUs to prevent this.
How do you know this is true?
Because, it was my idea.
And you know, another thing that's frightening we didn't talk about is Topher discovers that they're working on a device to imprint anyone just walking down the street. Like, immediately just wipe them and put whatever personality they want into them. So basically this Rossum Corporation is taking over, wants to take over the world, basically. You know? Bill?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Yeah. Making sure you're there.
No, it was profound. I was ruminating.
So what is awesome about the show now is you realize, holy shit, this is really bad. There's a lot of like weight here of how bad the bad guys are and how kind of it seems hopeless to me. And the FBI agent, I think it was a CIA agent that wanted to kill Echo or whatever that's in the attic. He decides to stay behind to give all the people there. He wants to keep spreading the word to everyone in the attic that you don't have to be afraid. It's all like bullshit. And
you're, keep waking them up like the Matrix.
Yeah, wake them all up and free the slaves as Anakin wanted to do, right?
You can either like
and
it
kill
or not
Tusken
like
Raiders.
It. Whatever.
Yeah, but I'm going to say Dollhouse was really awesome, and by the time it was over, I was like, oh, shit, how many episodes are left? And I think there's 3 left, Bill.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, I think the first of the 3 is tonight, right?
Right. So we have an episode to watch, which is really cool. And also, you need to remember, Steven,
we are the mainframe.
Whoa, that's some deep shit there, man. Think about it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm really excited about Dollhouse. I mean, it, see, that's what happens. And you have a storyline you've always wanted to tell, but you're kind of like stringing it along. Think of shows like Heroes and Smallville are kind of aimlessly going. I think Smallville, they have a blueprint of what they want to do every season, which always gets swept up in one episode, you know.
But what's sad is that they don't think about that for each episode. They only think about it for a handful of episodes.
Right.
So you a show like that, you watch and it's just filler the entire season until, you know, the last three episodes.
Yeah, they got 4 or 5 fillers.
And Heroes is just like, I don't know what they're doing.
Heroes is like the drunken filler bum you see that just kind of wanders around.
Right.
And then It's drunk and it's wandering. It has no idea what it's doing.
Like
but
this, like,
but it will suck for coke.
Whoa!
It's like it's just it has no idea where it's going.
It's almost like this. Like oh shit, the episode's due tomorrow. Shit, I got to stay up all night writing this. That's what it feels like. They need some kind of focus on where they want to go with the show. You know,
it's a last minute term paper.
Yeah,
it needs rehab.
Totally, they need that.
It's so far gone, though.
There's no saving.
At this point, it's unsavable.
There was that article on IO9, How to Save Heroes, and it was just like you read it kind of laughing because there is no way to save it.
No, yeah, there's no
Start
possible
over.
Way.
Right.
Go figure.
Yeah, they need to cancel Heroes and bring up a cool sci-fi show in its place, you know? And I'm thinking...
Space Trek?
Yeah, Space Trek.
There was a cool sci-fi show that was supposed to show up on NBC.
Right, it's the Alien Invasion show.
Yeah, what happened to that?
It's called Day One. It's supposed to come like in March.
Okay.
Basically, NBC kind of, they're kind of screwing it before it even airs, I think.
Yeah, because it's from Jesse Alexander, who worked on
Alias.
Lost and Alias, and yeah.
He worked on the first season of Heroes, actually, so.
Oh, yeah, before the last 3 episodes.
Right.
When it turned shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so let's talk about Friday Night Lights, huh? Friday Night Lights. Good show. Good stuff. Good stuff, Steven, huh?
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm saying this while I'm trying to think where to jump on board the episode here, you know, because we got all the cool football stuff, the toy.
Well, we could start with Julie and
her mom.
What's her name? Shit.
Going to Beantown to visit the college.
Yeah, going to Boston College.
Which I thought it was funny when she kind of, like in the class, she wants to ask a question, the mom, Connie Britton. That was funny, but
no, she's telling her daughter to raise her hand.
And she's like, and she's like, yes, would you like to say something? Because she's always wanted to go to that college. And I think Claire. I'm still on Heroes. I think Julie feels stupid because she's supposed to be excited about college, but all she can think is her old boyfriend who dumped her or disappeared on her. But you know what I really liked of the episode is this was the toilet bowl. And I love that the scene where Buddy's like, you know what? I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna I'm going to spend, you know, I'm going to spend all my extra time and I'm going to get you some radio time or whatever. And he goes to the Hispanic radio station. And he's trying to buy airtime. And so Buddy's on the radio. I thought that stuff was great.
It's like, yeah, you know what? Buddy always confuses me. Is he doing it for himself or because he truly cares?
I think he cares, but also he's got nothing anymore. Without the Panthers, he's really not much, right?
What I didn't realize it was him doing the announcing on the radio till they cut to it.
Yeah.
It's just like,
well, he was just doing the color commentary.
Right, right.
And he was good at it, too.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was saying.
He found himself something new to do, which I thought was really cool. Like,
I was wondering if he was doing, I guess it's the same voice because he was doing it for the Panthers.
I don't know if he was ever.
No, he wasn't doing it for the Panthers.
I don't think he was.
It sounds like the same voice.
But he's always in the stands. No. Remember they would show in the Panther games?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's that slamming Sammy Mead that does the Panther
games.
And I
hate that guy. Why does everyone listen to his show is what I want to know. But there's also a lot of Tim Riggins stuff going on here where he found that stretch of land that he likes and he's got that dog Skeeter.
Skeeter!
I just love Skeeter, by the way.
Skeeter's
such a great,
awesome.
Great dog name. Skeeter. And it's funny.
He's trying to buy that land.
He puts on a suit and he goes to ask about the land. And what is it? What? $82,000? It's like, oh, shit.
They'll take
it was $85,000, but if he could, like, put up
half
so much, then it would be
like 10% off or something.
Yeah.
He was just like,
I felt so bad for him. He looked so crushed.
Yeah. He's aiming a little high right now, I think.
Well, what the hell is he going to, where is he going to get the cattle? Is he just going to use that longhorn they bought at the auction?
I don't know. Does he want to be a farmer? What does he want to do? He likes the land. I don't think he has much of a plan.
I don't think, you're right. He doesn't have much of a plan.
There's a whole thing about Billy and, you know, Mindy's wondering where he's been. She thinks he's cheating on her. And there's this scene here where Riggins goes to visit Billy and ask him what's going on. Let's check this out.
What the hell are you doing?
Morning.
Yeah, morning.
You can be honest with me, man. It's, I'm just, are you messing around on Mindy?
No.
So I know you've been working late and all that kind of stuff, and I was over there, and she's all worried and stressed out, and maybe
I'm not cheating on Mindy, all right?
What's all this late night stuff, then?
Just doing a little after hours work, that's all.
Kind of after hours work.
You know, it's the kind of after hours work that you can't really do in the daytime. You get it?
No, Billy, I don't get it. That's why I'm asking. What do you mean? After
Look,
hours?
All right, okay. A couple guys came to me
Who?
A couple weeks ago, and they gave me a little proposition. And
kind of proposition?
Once or twice a week, they come by with a car, and I break it down to its component parts. They need it turned around in a quick time, and they pay really, really good for that.
That's stupidest.
Yeah, well, it's a plan, Tim. You got a better plan?
Yeah, Billy. We had a plan. I mean, we just had a party here and raised buckets of money.
Buckets of
Where's
money?
Where's all that money, then,
buckets
Billy?
Of money. You want to know where that money is, Tim?
I do.
It went to two trips to the pharmacy, all right? And one meeting with a specialist. That money's gone. You got any other plans? Tell me about it.
Yeah, Billy. This was our plan, Billy. Riggins Riggs.
Tim, it's a temporary thing.
Temporary
okay? thing. It's temporary.
You have no idea what you're
Look,
risking.
Nobody's getting hurt here, man.
You keep reminding me, like, every week that you have a family and this mechanic shop is some dream of yours.
Tim, that's the whole reason I'm doing this, okay? The whole reason I'm doing this is for my family. This is going to prevent me from going bankrupt. It's going to make sure that Mindy's going to be okay and that my baby's going to be okay, all right? And once it's over with, everything will go back to normal.
I want you guys to just think about this. This scene between two brothers and a scene on Heroes.
Yeah, really.
Good writing, good acting.
It breaks my heart because you know this isn't going to end up good.
No. I know, and you know what? I put it out of my mind, but the whole way that they even got Riggins Riggs was by committing a crime, remember? The copper
wire.
Yeah,
stealing the copper.
And now they're doing it whenever they fall in hard times. Well, at first, Riggins isn't on board here, but he always falls in line with Billy, doesn't he?
If Billy really cared about his brother, he would have never even let him near the place.
But we also
because
know
he's going to take Tim down with him.
But we also know also that he's not too bright. You know, he really isn't.
He's an idiot, basically.
I mean, he went the honest route, tried to go get a job.
Right. And,
it's,
you know...
It's like, dude, you need to get a haircut. You're going to need to kind of look clean.
Yeah, Tim is the smarter of the two brothers, but he always falls in line behind his older brother, yeah. You know? Because even, you know, he's disgusted there, but later on, he's thinking...
He wants that property.
He's there. He wants that property so bad. He's like, so how much money can I make? And
well, and that's sad, too, because Tim hasn't even had a life yet, and he already wants to, like, retire. That's what... He wants his life to be is to settle on a farm in Dillon. I mean, come on. It's so tragic.
Yeah, something bad's going to have to happen, which is sad because Billy's got a kid on the way and everything. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's kind of scary. And what did you think about the young girl? What's her name again? The girl that loves Riggins, basically. She's infatuated with Riggins. She tries to kiss him, and he kind of pushes her off. Because after all, he did have sex with her mother, and he lives right outside the house, so he knows that it's not
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but what's with the preview for next week?
And, you know,
did
I
you see that
of,
stuff with her?
I was thinking about that, and here's what I think it is. Do you remember when she went drinking beer with, what's his
oh,
name?
Oh, Luke Cafferty.
With Luke, he got a 12-pack. He's like, you want to hang out with me? And then remember later, he's like, hey, you want to go do something? She's like, I'm not your girlfriend or anything. I just want you to know that. Remember that? I almost think that maybe they messed around and they actually, you know, had...
Well, I didn't know if they had messed... If Tim and her had messed around because, you know, they started making out at the end.
I think that's what they were trying to imply,
they,
but
yeah,
I think...
Yeah. I don't think for a minute they did, though. I don't think Tim is that stupid. Because I...
No.
He kind of held her more like... he pushed her off the kiss and then he put his arm around her kind of like, no, this is... We're just friends or whatever, you know. We're here for each other, but we're not going to do any of that stuff.
It wasn't just me. Did she look really pretty in that sunlight in that scene? Because I haven't found her attractive the entire time she was on. And then there's just something about the way the sunlight hit her that was like, wow, she looks really pretty,
you know,
right
I
there.
I think the early on Tyra wasn't that attractive to me. But as they showed her more in a different light, she became more attractive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same here.
But also Luke, he comes to Tim because he's got that horrible bruise. Oh. He got like a bruised rib or something.
It's his hip. It's...
And he's like, I'll tell you a doc to go to. And he's like, say,
here's your answers.
No, 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 yeah. Yes, no. He's like,
that's...
You drink alcohol? No.
What you do drugs?
No.
You take anything over the counter?
Yes.
did it help? No.
No. All right, you script.
Yeah, and then he said, like, who's going to win the whatever bowl? And he's like, TMU, sir.
Yeah, and it was the doctor's call. So, yeah, that was good. I love moments like that on the show, too, where there's always, like, this funny stuff along with it. And also there's the stuff with Landry where he wants to date the girl, but also, I'm sorry, I can't remember these names. What's the black dude's name?
Vince.
Vince likes her too, and his mom is trying to make the best effort now. You
but
know.
She was obviously high as a kite during that dinner with the way her
was
hand
she
was shaking.
Or was she coming down? You know what I'm saying? She's trying to be sober, she's getting the shakes because she's sober.
That's oh, okay. I thought she was tweaking or some
yeah,
shit.
I didn't think she was. I thought she just really was going out without the drugs for a long
time. Yeah, she's almost like DTs, you know.
Yeah, and okay. Vince, you know, he loves his mom, but at the same time,
she's kind of embarrassed because of that.
Right, but yeah, that was really strange. That was just uncomfortable. But also, I love when... Landry does go on a date with her, and it's with all of her brothers, her little brothers.
Yeah.
And he's like, where did they go? Like Chuck E. Cheese or something? And they've all got toys, and he goes to kiss her, and she just kisses him on the cheek. And
all the kids are like, you're going to make out.
He's like, Vince going to get you, whatever. He goes, what? What did he say? He's like, why is he saying that? Nothing. And I love it. He's like, well, I got this toy.
No, I like when he's like, so are we going to go on a real date? He's like, I got a nice shirt. It's not the one with the periodic tables on it.
Poor Landry. But what's cool, Landry,
I got other shirts.
In that game, they finally won a game, the East Dillon Lions, and Landry even kicked a field goal. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was painful with Buddy whenever they started to to lose, and Buddy's like, oh, I think I'm going to throw up.
Oh, they had like two turnovers in a row that led to touchdowns. They're like, no! It was so bad.
Yeah, and there's something seriously wrong with Luke Cafferty, that thing isn't healing, whatever the damage was, and he's popping those pills, and that's
well, not
good.
Not
in fact, that reminds me of a storyline in the original Friday Night Lights film.
Oh, really? I've still never seen the movie. I really need to. Mm-hmm.
Really good film.
It's like I didn't think it was healing because he's still doing practice.
Yeah, he
still
needs
getting
to,
hit. In
he
it.
Needs to lay himself out for a bit and heal, but he's not going to do that. He's just one of those
well,
people.
Well, isn't it? This is like his senior year, so he's got to get noticed by scouts so he can play.
Yeah. Right. And remember, he's yet again another kid who doesn't want to live on a farm the rest of his life or whatever. See, Luke has got what Riggins wants, and that's to live on a farm.
Luke, feel the force.
Oh, I know that movie, Bill.
What Space Track?
Yeah, I love that movie. Now, Friday Night Lights is awesome, and, you know, they showed scenes for next week. We'll talk about that after the episode. But, yeah, there are a few moments where they're like, what the what? Like, huh? So I can't wait to – and one of them is Coach in the wrong side of town. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to be up in there because Steven Seagal is hanging out there, right?
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lip.
Put a mama baby.
Yeah, Coach Taylor. What'd you say, Coach Taylor?
Yeah, I'm hoping you ain't got no prize, man. You got a misdemeanor. You got nothing, baby.
And if I was like, what you call me baby for, white boy?
It's a what? What you saying? What you saying, fool?
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lip.
That's right. Oh, shit.
I'm not going to lick anything.
Yo,
what are you talking about?
My licks.
Pervert.
I'm a worker. I work every day of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Check it, Bleed. Bro was on. Didn't trip.
Yeah. But you know what I don't like about that friend of, what's the black dude on Friday Night?
His weird eyes?
Vince. Yeah, that dude.
His
jive-ass dude don't got no brains in
him. And I'm going to predict right now that's who we see on the ground in the next episode. And you know what? I will not be too sad.
Good.
The kid needed someone in his life, much like Vince did, but he's too hard-headed to do anything.
You think Vince is going to kind of take a cue from that? Hey, it could have been me because I was going to go play.
God, I hope so. Because we already see he's on the right track right now. He's like... You know, like his friend comes over, he's like, man, that's all you do. You do your homework, work on your place. I'd say, look, dude, my mom is a freaking crackhead, and she's not anymore because she sees what I'm doing with my life. You think I want to go hang out with you and steal cars, you freaking moron? You know, I want a scene like that where he tells him off. But
you would think that Vince's example would maybe help this kid see that he's not doing the right thing?
The guy's a jackass. I mean, you... That crack is some bad shit, you know?
Light
but there's people like that.
No,
they're just
Adam?
So...
Did you hear what Adam just said to that, Bill?
Light it.
No, what?
Try to smoke it.
No!
Light it, try to smoke.
That's not good, dude.
No, you see what happens with people like that on Lawman.
Yeah, you know what happens on Lawman.
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lip.
Oh, yeah, I hear what you're saying, you know?
Hanging around rundown motels, porn on the TV.
Oh, yeah. Look, they got pornography on the TV. So anyway.
I love how all the cops were in that room just looking at the TV.
Look, they got porn on the TV. I'm disgusted. Yep, it sure is disgusting. It's like, could you turn it off? This is no moral character in what I'm watching right now. Dude, turn it off. Yeah, this is really grossing me out.
They didn't even turn off the TV whenever they pulled the dresser drawer forward. He's like, leave that shit on.
Whatever.
Yeah, he's like, turn this porn off. All right, guys. That's Friday Night Lights. We have no more shows to talk about, and we're going to do the news. But first, I've got to play you guys something. Because I saw it before the show started, and 24 is coming back in a couple of weeks. What is it, the 15th? I don't know. It's coming on soon. 18th, I don't know. So I can't retain these dates in my head, but I do know I saw a kick-ass trailer to the show, Bill. The new season takes place in New York. Let's go ahead and check out this trailer because it's badass, Steven. I'm really excited.
Chisel.
I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lip.
The hell, Yizzle. Let's check it out.
Jack,
You're supposed to call me Grandpa.
You look like a grandpa.
Couldn't agree with you more. Back to Los Angeles with you.
Dad, I don't know what to say.
Come here.
So happy.
What are you doing here?
I have information. There's a big hit going down.
I don't work for the government anymore.
President Hassan,
is Mark Wahlberg involved?
Today.
Jack Bauer's on line 3.
You need to pay attention to this. This January.
Go! Go!
We're under attack.
We are cold red.
Oh, no. Going out now. Innocent lives are at stake.
Jack Bauer.
Jack Bauer.
Who is Jack Bauer?
This is over.
We are. Yeah, I said it. We are. This is Rock Nation. Pledge of Allegiance.
Hell yeah!
Man, just follow my lead. 24. A new day begins.
Oh shit! Yeah. I'm
what?
Excited.
What?
Yeah. Awesome.
I was all dancing and shit listening to that.
Hey, did you hear all the gunshots in there?
Whose gun is that?
Huh?
I didn't hear any glass breaking.
You ain't tripping about that, right?
I ain't worrying about that.
Nah, man, I ain't worried about 24 next season. Shit. All right,
I
Bill.
Know it's going to be badass.
Bill, let's do the news.
Now
it's friggin' ganache inside.
Yeah, friggin' ganache.
It's thick and fudgy.
It's a ganache filled news, right, Bill?
It should have been three layers, not four layers.
It's a ganache named Ganorm.
What?
Wow,
thick and fudgy.
Oh, that was awesome.
Is he thick and fudgy?
Yeah, thick and fudgy. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news?
There is huge news in the world of religion in general.
Really?
Huge. Yes. More than 1,000 unreleased recordings of lectures by L. Ron Hubbard and reams of corresponding writings have been unveiled in the culmination of a 25-year project to locate, restore, and transcribe lost pieces of the Scientologist's former work.
No, it's not.
Whoa.
It's this. I loved this this quote from the PR guy, Tommy Davies, who's the nut that we always see on TV. It would be like discovering that Buddha, unbeknownst to anybody, had sat down and wrote down the entirety of his discoveries, and it could be verified that he wrote it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is... Wow, this is serious, man.
Serious shit, man.
These are his lost lectures that span from 1953 to 1961. And they were recovered through a painstaking hunt that led members to find tapes and papers in basement of Wichita, Kansas, a storage trailer in Phoenix, and an old garage in Oakland, California.
But we're just Scientologists.
Oh, I thought it was in some ancient crypt or something. It was in a garage?
You know, you would think they would have been like in the Holy of Holies.
In an ancient...
Found in a pyramid that was never found before in California.
An underground pyramid.
You know, I was getting excited. I thought you were going to say they found the intergalactic prison Xenu was in, like on Mars or something.
Well, I think the space telescope that's going up in a couple years that's going to replace Hubble, that's the first thing they're looking for.
Nice.
That's
what,
in 2012, the batteries die.
Yeah.
Like Tom Cruise did.
And he's coming back, yo.
It's going to take him a couple years, though, because he's a few... light years away.
Well, they have
so
those,
we've got time to prepare for the Xenu arrival.
Well, those DC-10s are pretty fast, I think, right?
Those space jets.
Space jets, yeah. Awesome.
Tommy Davis continues, it's so huge for our religion to have these materials. It's really a renaissance. It's as if it's a rediscovery of our own scriptures and what they hold and what they mean.
Whatever.
Yeah. See, here's the problem, though. In order to get a hold of these, you've got to pay $7,500.
Holy shit.
Well, it's worth it, you know,
gold
because
pages?
these are tapes and, you know, writings that they never knew existed.
What did he lose in his marbles?
And need I remind people that Hubbard was a science fiction writer.
Have you read that one book he did?
Pardon Space me? Track?
No, but I've read Battlefield Earth.
Oh.
No, actually, I've never read that.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I wish I could unsee.
There's a lot about taxes in it.
Yeah, space taxes.
Space
much like
taxes.
Much like The Phantom Menace.
Right, there's a lot of taxation of trade routes in that movie.
Yes, and bad Asian stereotypes.
What? What did you say, Mel?
We are Namordians.
I like it a lot.
Oh, God, I hate Scientology. All right, moving on. Medics at a Southampton General Hospital struggled to get a man's penis out of the stainless steel pipe.
Huh?
Yes. A fire crew turned up with a special equipment unit from St. Mary's in Southampton, and seven firefighters helped. They used a 4.5-inch industrial metal grinder to cut the pipe from around the anesthetized man's penis. The man thought to be around 40 did not explain to the hospital staff how exactly the pipe got stuck around his penis.
That was crazy.
But they said he was quite concerned and anxious.
No ass play, I promise.
It was a very delicate operation that required a very steady hand, and the crew was worried about things getting too hot during the cutting.
Oh, Jesus.
Do they mean, like, the pipe was getting hot, yes, or they were all getting turned on?
Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm getting turned on
hot
by this.
Here, it's just me.
This is the best rescue we've had all day.
Your shaft is caught in a shaft.
What the hell are you doing?
The watch manager from the Redbridge Fire Station told the Southampton Daily Echo, "I've only come across this type of thing 3 or 4 times in my 17 years as a firefighter. It's not a daily occurrence." The fact that he's come across it 3 or 4 times is too many. I mean, who are these people sticking their Johnsons in things they shouldn't be sticking them in?
Unbelievable!
Like, what person looks at a pipe and goes, "Yeah,
I'm really lonely right now.
That looks like it looks just like a vagina." When I think of vagina, I think a cold steel pipe.
No, you know what he thought was, "I'm gonna lay me some pipe."
Why would you do that?
Get my pipe stuck in a pipe. All right. An Australian engineer working in India has
Steven's
been charged.
Was that bad, Steven?
Yeah, I didn't even have to answer. As bad as my two have been tonight.
Oh, my. An Australian engineer working in India has been charged with attempted murder after shooting a man outside his apartment.
Oh, my God.
Way to go, Steven. That's good stuff.
Why would he be doing this? The paper said Mr. Justin, who's working for a local company, was drinking with colleagues on the balcony of his apartment when he saw a man urinating. Mr. Justin picked up his air rifle and pulled the trigger, hitting the man in the arm. Australian has been charged with attempted murder and has been reprimanded in custody. I'm sorry, but...
A BB gun? Or a pellet
a
gun?
A BB gun? Attempted murder? An air rifle? Really?
Where did you shoot him at? In the jugular? Or?
It said in the arm. He hit him in the arm.
He was aiming, for the Johnson. It was Pete. Yeah.
The paper said it was common practice for local people to defecate and urinate on the road. What the fuck is wrong with people in India?
Well, I'm not sure there's a lot of public
restrooms. Why are you sitting and pissing in a road?
Are there a lot of public restrooms? They don't have rest stops like America does, I don't think.
So the rest stop is the road?
Happy now.
What would happen if you're driving your car and you like run over a big pile of shit?
Hey, man, it happens.
Oh, that's so gross.
You can either like it or not like it. Whatever.
So incredibly disgusting and unclean. I wonder if the cows that walk around there just eat that stuff up.
Now, is that too gross? You got no prize, man. You got a misdemeanor. Nice. You got nothing, baby.
All right. A 31-year-old Myrtle Beach man told police his 21-year-old girlfriend threw an iron at him after he jokingly threw two pennies and crackers towards her when she asked for money.
Stupid jerk.
The man said the woman came home and asked for money because she did not have any, and the man said he threw two pennies and crackers towards her. The man said the woman responded by throwing an iron. The couple said they were not hit by the thrown objects, and a woman told police the man had been drinking.
So
the woman said she
money?
Was not drinking because she's pregnant. The couple already has a child together.
Classy.
That sounds like a great relationship.
Thick and fudgy.
Well, that's later on in the pregnancy.
The relationship, yeah. Here's some pennies and crackers, bitch.
Wait, he wanted money from her?
She wanted money from him, and he threw pennies and crackers
at her.
Well,
he gave her 2 cents. What does she want? Here's my 2 cents! Oh!
She didn't say how much money, did she?
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'll give you
maybe
my 2 cents.
Maybe it was like a whole roll of pennies. She could have went to McDonald's and got a double cheeseburger.
So she's a dollar menu.
Unbelievable!
Yeah, the dollar menu. All right, here's something interesting. A prosecutor began his opening statement by asking, "Where's the beef?" He then convinced the jury that Mark Zachary, 51, had the beef, an $8 side of New York Strip, under his shirt as he was leaving a Reed supermarket in Orangeburg, South Carolina.
Are you out of your mind?
Now Zachary is going to prison for 10 years after being given the maximum sentence for shoplifting. According to the police report, Zachary fled when the store manager approached him about the bread box size side of beef under his shirt.
Where is the beef?
He fled directly into the path of an on-duty police officer who was entering the store.
Holy shit.
On the stand during his 2-day trial, Zachary denied he was stealing the meat, arguing that he was merely massaging it. You've got to put the meat under the shirt to give it a proper massage.
He was tenderizing it, right?
He meant to run into the cop to tenderize it.
Why would you do that?
To tenderize it.
Yeah, I'm going to taste that after he's done, right? That'd be good, right?
Yeah, it properly massaged beef. All right, a 92-year-old in Port Orange, Florida, was going to Biscuits and Gravy Diner.
Oh,
in Port
Orange.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
I love that stuff.
When he plowed his car into the side of the building.
Oh, shit.
The 92-year-old man was at the wheel when his vehicle crashed into the busy restaurant. He wasn't hurt, but the cook said a customer had just left the area that was crashed into. Again, this always happens. Investigators think he stepped on the gas instead of hitting the brake while trying to park. But get this, instead of panicking, amid all the debris, he calmly got out of his car and placed his order.
What is your problem?
So he crashes into the place, goes in, sits down, and is like, okay, I'm going to have my breakfast now.
You know, I've been in his situation before where you just need to, I just need to get something to eat. Let me, I'm really hungry, and then I'll deal with the situation. I know what he's doing.
Wait,
man,
for the cops. Give me some biscuits and gravy.
Yeah. Mmm. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
They say that the building has no structural problems, so it can continue to operate.
Yeah,
but the damage is estimated at $25,000. So that's one hefty breakfast bill. Awesome. I love that he was cited after breakfast for careless driving.
Now, where's
so they let him eat his breakfast. That was nice of him.
What state is this in again? Because I want to go to that place.
The biscuits and gravy in Port Orange, Florida.
Yeah, nice.
An Ohio father is facing felony charges after allegedly putting a 7-year-old daughter in the dryer, closing the door, and turning it on.
Oh, my God.
Stupid jerk.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, I would always look in the dryer and think it would be fun.
Yeah, it but, gets hot in there.
You turn the heat off.
Well, didn't Beavis go in the dryer? Wasn't there an episode of Beavis and Butthead where they were at the laundromat and they both went in the dryers? That's how they had fun.
Those guys.
Whoa.
I don't understand. This guy obviously has some disconnect with his child, but...
Yeah.
I love the quote from the cop. There's no explaining this type of activity. Why any individual would place any human being or any animal or anything... in a dryer is unexplainable. Well, what if they're clothes and they need to get dry?
That is true. If she had wrinkled clothes and they were in a hurry.
Yeah. Oh, I can't really iron them. Why don't you just hop in the dryer for a couple minutes?
Oh, my God.
Here's our weekly pot story. We always got to have a pot story.
Oh, nice.
Lighted.
A marijuana grower thought his small crop was being held for ransom after a suspicious note was left in place of his plants. Thanks for the grow. You want them back? Call for the price. We'll talk. Read the note left in place of the stash that was growing on a lot near his apartment. Unfortunately for Stephen Allen Locascio, 48, the ransom note was written by detectives.
Oh.
Who arrested Locascio when he showed up with $200 in exchange for the safe return of his plants.
That's entrapment.
That is entrapment. That's bullshit.
Light it and try to smoke it.
No, Adam, that's bad.
According to the sheriff's office, a resident called to report the plants that were growing in the wooded lot. Now, what the hell is it? Is it? It's a couple plants. What does it involve you? Why do you feel the need to call and report somebody for growing a little pot? Is it going to hurt you?
It's a freaking tattletale is what it is.
Kiss ass.
Exactly. Oh, he also had several OxyContin pills. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, dear.
This person was a drug addict.
I don't think you can smoke that stuff, Adam. Can you?
No, but you can crush it and snort it.
No, I don't. What? No, I don't know what that sound is supposed to be.
I guess when you think of a crime at a grocery store, you normally, you know, you'd think of shoplifting, like stealing a steak or, you know, a side of beef.
Right.
And then
side of beef?
Yeah. Well, that's what the hell? The guy took an entire strip, like an entire side of $80 worth. That's a lot of beef. Well, at a grocery store in Canada. A guy apparently got arrested for licking a cake.
Whoa, are you kidding me?
No, he just Alexander...
Thick and fudgy!
I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
Was it a thick and fudgy cake?
It was thick and fudgy.
What did you
how would you
his
pronounce R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E? Rodrigue?
Yes. Sure.
It's like it's missing a Z. It should be like Rodriguez.
It's friggin' ganache inside.
Here's something clever. Alexander Dwight Rodriguez gets his just desserts for an incident that was allegedly involved cake licking.
Don't you love those people who write those articles? They crack themselves up, don't they?
I think they live for those puns.
That's good stuff.
Rodriguez had initially pled guilty to mischief. Mischief.
I guess I'm guilty, Your Honor, of mischief.
I'm so mischievous. But the 23-year-old changed his mind after hearing the details that the store is alleging. They said this. Oh, my God. Not again. The sticky situation occurred on June 15th when staff at the Extra Foods noticed a man in the bakery department opening cake boxes, touching them, and then licking them. A staff member told him to stop, but the man continued the behavior. The staff member then asked the man why he was touching the cakes. He said he was checking for freshness.
Nobody saw us.
Freshness? What?
The man was told to stop again, but his behavior turned anything but sweet. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Yeah. How many of these can they fit into this one article? When he threw two loaves of bread to the floor and stomped and kicked them.
Squirting my cake.
I'm so angry. I'm going to stomp this bread and kick it at you.
I'm not loafing.
Do you know if that guy... Did that guy have any priors before this?
Now, I hope you got no priors, man. You got a misdemeanor. Nothing. You got nothing, baby.
He's a cereal cake licker.
Ah!
Unbelievable!
By the way, I love that show on TLC, Cake Box.
Cake Box?
Awesome.
Is it like the story of how the cake gets in the boxes?
Yeah.
Suck.
Huh? Buddy.
Now, this guy's obviously got problems because he initially appeared on the charge shortly after the incident, which they were just going to charge him with mischief. But he failed to successfully complete a rehabilitation program that would have allowed him to walk away without a criminal conviction. Maybe he just, you know, really stood up for cake licking. I don't know.
He stood up for cake lickers everywhere.
He stood up for mischievous doers all over.
Thick and fudgy lovers everywhere.
Bada bing.
All right, and that's news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
Thick and fudgy.
Yeah, I love that thick and fudgy news. I love it. It's awesome.
Thick and
I love
fudgy.
My news a little thick and fudgy.
Oh, yeah.
It's friggin' ganache inside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it sounds good. I'm so hungry. All right, let's do some DVDs.
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! Some more DVDs, baby!
Oh, it's turned off.
Hey, I know what's going to be on DVD this week.
Space Truck?
Yeah!
No, I don't think there's any Space Truck this week.
Oh.
I think you got the release date wrong.
Oh, bummer. Wow.
You can either like it or not like it. Whatever.
I don't like it.
That's freaking smug.
I know, that's so condescending. Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I told Jason. I was like, dude, you got to watch this. He's such a condescending ass.
You know what's funny?
I can really only take so much John Stewart.
He's making a joke about that, but it's totally true what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Why would you do that?
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week? I'm really excited about all this.
DVDs for Tuesday, January 12th, 2010.
Whoa, 2010. Wow. We're
all right,
in the future.
First movie, Patton Oswalt movie called Big Fan.
I've actually heard this is good.
Yeah, this got a lot of really great reviews. I guess he is a fan of the New York Giants, meets his idol, and his idol beats the shit out of him.
light it.
That's basically
it.
All I know about it. But whoa. I hear he's terrific in it, and it's a really good movie.
Awesome. So I Patton Oswalt's hilarious. I love his stand-up. I'll check it out.
I hope it goes up on... it's funny. I don't use Netflix as much as... you know, I have one of those Roku boxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Netflix streamer. But what's great about the Roku box is also there's Amazon Video on Demand. And when DVDs come out, they're available on Amazon Video on Demand the same day. Sweet. So I can rent the movie for, you know, $3-4. If I want to go HD, it's $5. But I can rent it that day on my... you know, my Roku player and just stream it automatically and have it for, you know, 2 days.
So I love all that stuff. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I love the Roku player is one of the greatest things ever because not only that, they've added so many services to it, like Pandora, that streaming service that you can create your own stations and all that. It's a lot like Last.fm.
Pandora? That's where the Na'vi live.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I've been playing the crap out of Borderlands. Great game. But it takes place on a planet called Pandora also. Ah. So it's like Pandora Overload lately.
So are you like Smurfs, whatever?
What's funny is the planet is the exact opposite of the Na'vi Pandora. This one is like a desert, rocky landscape.
So they're more like Care Bears than Smurfs.
Yeah, exactly. But with the Roku player, they've added, like, the horrible Revision 3, which doesn't have a single good show on it because they're all so, like, pompous and superior.
You know,
I can't stand any of the shows on Revision
3. You know what I
think
is funny about all those shows? Seriously, the Revision 3, the Kevin Rose or whatever, Dignation. You know, hey, more power to them. They can find sponsors and stuff. We can't. But I think it's funny. They're all so proud of their animated intros.
Yes.
With
and
all
they
their
last
shit
like a minute.
Around.
It's
yeah.
like, oh.
It's like, you know, you need to have 5-minute intros with clips from Dumb and Dumber.
But everything on Revision 3 is like this irritating hipster geek shit that I watch it and I feel dirty.
Bill, it's a club we do not belong to.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the... yeah, that's just... ooh. But they've also added, like, Blip TV, which goes out and
what's
grabs
that?
A bunch of different on, like, internet TV.
Oh, okay.
Like, we've mentioned Retroware TV before. Really
yeah.
great site that... covers like retro gaming and all that stuff, and that's available on there. I've even listened to our podcast on the Roku.
Nice.
Because they have services that you can grab shows, and I'll listen to Noel Miller's film rant and
right.
the 35mm podcast he
yeah.
does.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's I actually have been listening to more podcasts because of it.
Is there any
Andy
Seams on there?
Yes, the Andy. It's a sewing show.
Andy CMs.
Andy CMs
yeah.
podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool little box. I love it. But anyways, moving on.
But you digress.
I digress and back into DVDs. Next. DVD is actually a Blu-ray, and this is huge. This is enormous. It's,
whoa.
It's gargantuous. Whatever that guy said. Okay, good. You got your hit. Billy Jack Remastered Edition on Blu-ray.
Oh, Billy Jack, are you kidding me, man?
Light it.
That's
you
right.
Smoke it.
No, you can't smoke Billy Jack.
The ex-Green Beret is back, and it's bare feet, and he's kicking
hell
ass.
Yeah. He did his time. He served his country, right? If he wants to take his boots off and kick some ass, he can. It's the American way, damn it. Right, Steven?
That's right.
This is done, man.
Hell yeah.
You cannot get any more 70s than this movie. It's pretty crazy. And he never loses his hat in any of
nope.
these fights.
That
I
thing
know.
Is glued on.
No, he takes it off.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in the fight scenes, it's like it's glued on.
You know what I love about Billy? What I love
it only
about,
comes off if he wants to take it off.
Billy Jack, he could kick your ass, but you know what? Just to humiliate you, he'll just bitch slap you. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what you going to do? He smacks you in the face, and all of a sudden you feel really tiny inside.
And what I always loved about Billy Jack is that it says it was directed by T.C. Frank. But that's actually just Tom Laughlin, Billy Jack.
Right.
And it was directed by him, but for some reason he felt the need to use a...
I just figured out what they need in the Avatar sequel, a Billy Jack character, because he loved the Native Americans. He was part Native American, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a half-breed.
They need to bring a Billy Jack Na'vi. That would kick some
That's
ass.
What I'm talking about.
He would take off his... oh, wait, they don't wear shoes, I don't think.
He would moccasins.
He'd need to wear moccasins to take them off before every
yes.
fight. There No. He puts on shoes when he's going to fight.
There you go. His ass-kicking shoes.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray, The Brothers Bloom. It's done with its rental cycle for how many months that was.
You know what? I did rent that on Netflix, and while I like a lot of the movie and the photography and the actors, I think the movie is a mess. It's kind of a
mess. It is a complete and utter mess.
The third act of the movie really is a mess.
What's funny to me is that everybody was raving on about how great this movie was. And
I was
upset about how they handled the whole release of it with the rental and the all that, but when I finally watched it, I was like,
Didn't you think that when the movie's got a lot of promise when it first starts and it's really
energetic and it's fun and it's funny, and then it just kind of exactly that. I think I actually heard that sound in the movie.
Right, and I was kind of sad because I really wanted to like it. And, you know, there's a lot to like about the movie, but it's flawed, very flawed.
Yeah, there's too much you have to ignore to truly like it.
Right, it's just, it needed more editing or something, I don't know, because I really like that director, who is
Ryan Johnson.
Oh, you said it before I could say it, but yeah, Ryan.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I couldn't remember. Yeah. No, stop it. Yeah. No, but yeah, Ryan Johnson. Hey, the movie's gorgeous, though, isn't it? Shot gorgeous.
It is. It is.
And it's got a lot of imagination and stuff like that. So anyway, I say people check it out and then try to figure out where it went wrong.
There you go. All right, next Blu-ray, the one I'm most excited about this week.
That's me rubbing my hands together just so you guys know.
Stallone Cliffhanger.
Yeah, Cliffhanger.
You know what? As much as this movie is stupid, it's one of those movies that I saw... You know, God, I don't know what year it came out. It had to be the early 90s.
And
it just clicked for me. Everything about this absurdity clicked for me.
You know, I think the guy who does Dexter saw Cliffhanger. He was like, we need to get John Lithgow on this show.
Yeah.
Gavin kick some ass as a bad guy.
He was great as the villain in it.
You know what? He's great as the villain up until the fisticuffs fight with Stallone at the end. You're just like, he's going to get his ass
that was
kicked.
For the entire movie, he seems like, you know, like Pinky in the Brain. He's the brain. He's the evil genius that's always like one step ahead of Stallone. And then for him to be, he gets taken out really in a weak, CGI moment.
This is a Rennie Harlan masterpiece. And the reason I say that is because what other movie can you think of, Steven, that has death by stalactite or...
Oh, when he shoved the dude up on...
Which one is the one from the top? Is it
stalactite?
Stalactite.
Stalactite,
because
then
he's like, oh! And oh, that's... I guess we're cracking him up, huh? Was that funny?
that was great.
But yeah, that's got death by stalagmite type, and it's awesome.
It is. And now she's got me all.
You know what? Also, what I love about Ace Ventura 2 is they do a spoof of the beginning scene in Cliffhanger, but it's with the monkey. Do you remember that? Where he's trying to save the monkey on the.
I thought it was a raccoon.
Oh, it was a raccoon. It's a raccoon. It's like,
yeah, and that's exactly where it stopped being funny.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Africa and births himself out of a rhinoceros butt.
Yeah.
And that was painful.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on. I'm just going to mention it for, you know, just because I should. Halloween 2, the unrated director's cut. You know, this is the Rob Zombie Halloween. I really could give a shit. I'm not even going to bother with it.
Yeah, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what it is the first one was just so incredibly vulgar and bad. Yeah,
people keep telling me how talented Rob Zombie is, but I'm sorry, don't see it. I don't care what you tell me about anything. Like his one movie that was like his original work,
House of a Thousand.
No. That was a hack job.
Devil's Reject.
Devil's Reject. That was like his masterpiece. That was the movie that I was saying earlier that the story you want to tell. And even though it is disgusting and disturbing, it apparently was a good movie. So there you go. But Halloween 2, or even the first Halloween, no, I'm sorry. Doesn't do it for me. I'll take the original, thank you.
the first Halloween he did made me laugh out loud, the part where Michael Myers is a kid killing animals.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so that's
where it all started. Oh, did his dad drink beer too? Oh. Yeah. You know, no, it's know what it was, Bill.
Yeah, it was hot.
Light it and try to smoke it.
No, Adam, no. He's gone to the dark side, Steven. Animals must save Adam.
Animals are gateway killings.
Guys, don't play this on the air.
That's right.
All right, next Blu-ray and DVD.
I'm so hammered.
The Hurt Locker.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, this is a movie. I've wanted to see this movie for a year.
Yes, ouch.
Owie, she says.
I love that.
I want to see this movie so bad. I'm telling you, I'm really excited. You know,
it's really a great little movie.
Pardon Space me? Track?
No. The Hurt Locker. And it's directed by Catherine Near Dark Bigelow.
Yes, which I just got on DVD today.
Catherine Point.
Or I mean,
Break?
Not on DVD, but on Blu-ray. Sorry,
Break Bigelow.
Catherine, shit, I can't remember that. Strange Days, Bigelow.
Strange Days, another movie I loved.
You know what? Strange Days was like a movie that I liked when I saw it, but I can't watch it. No.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a really long time, but I just loved the idea of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really...
It doesn't hold up for me, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really work well, but the idea of it is so intriguing.
Although, you know, any movie with an evil Tom Sizemore gets some...
I find myself watching it occasionally when I see it on.
Hey, and Ralph Fiennes is pretty terrific, even though his name is spelled Ralph.
You know what? He is great in that movie, and I love his relationship with the black ladies.
I know! What the hell is her name?
Steven, what's her name? Come on. What's her name?
Pardon? Space Track?
Yeah, exactly. That was her name.
Tina Turner.
No.
I love it.
I'm trying to see the movie in my head now.
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Yes.
Yeah.
Pardon? Space Track?
No, it's Angela Bassett.
Next DVD of Blu-ray is Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I ain't tripping me, so I'm going to take my lip.
How does this guy have a career?
I don't know.
See what I'm talking about?
You know
and
what?
Continuing.
I'll tell you why he has a career, because he speaks to people and they listen. He's got something to... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's got something to say. Apparently it doesn't appeal to everyone.
And he does it dressed as a woman.
What? Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray is a film that's got a lot of really good word of mouth. It's called In the Loop.
In the Loop.
It's actually a British comedy about a British government spokesman that has to go to the U.S. and have to deal with the bureaucrats and spin doctors and all that. And it's got Steve Coogan in it. But also what intrigues me is
I love him, Bill.
This is done, man.
Oh, wait.
That's Keith
Coogan. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Bill, I wanted to say something real quick. I remembered Strange Days, first movie I ever saw with my wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we didn't know each other. We just sat next to each other. We hadn't met yet.
Oh, crazy. Well, that's interesting.
She is much the Angela Bassett to my Ray Fiennes, as they would say. Wait, what?
She's black?
Exactly. Huh?
And you're British with an English or with a American accent?
Yeah, call me Jafe.
Yes. Oh man, that's great.
I got nothing. Back to the movie.
What's cool about this movie is it's got a grown-up Anna Chlumsky in it. The My Girl girl.
Anna, I think it's Anna Chlumsky, isn't it?
Is it Chlumsky? I know it's C H L U M S K Y.
Is she still sad about her friend being stung by a bee?
I think so. I don't think she's ever gotten over it.
Poor kid.
Ouch. next on Blu-ray, Last Action Hero.
Oh, ow!
Daddy.
Hey, I can watch Last Action Hero whenever it's on.
Yeah,
I think it's a lot of fun. You know, remember when it came out, everyone was like, oh, this movie costs so much, blah, 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 it's a big disaster. We knew it was a disaster before it even came out. What is so funny over there? I'm funny? Oh, thank you. That's a compliment, right?
I still love its tongue-in-cheek quality, though.
Yeah, I do too. Jack Slater. Remember, what is his tagline, Bill? Jack Slater, what is his main...
I can't remember.
Do you remember? Big mistake. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
I apologize.
See, that's how much I remember the movie.
Why would you do that?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
All right. I think we are up to our last Blu-ray and DVD, and that is Duncan Jones' Moon.
Pardon me? Space Track?
No, Moon.
Oh, Moon with Sam Rockwell. Yes. Just watched it twice this week, and I love it, and it's coming out on Blu-ray, right, Bill?
Yes, it is. It's a really, really well-done film.
It's a gorgeous Blu-ray. It's a gorgeous high-def transfer, as they say in the Blu-ray reviewing biz, right?
Yep. And you know what's really weird? I didn't even realize it until like 2 weeks ago that Duncan Jones was actually Zoe Bowie,
right.
David Bowie's son.
It is. And you know what? It was funny because I looked it up too, and it said real name is Zoe Bowie. I went, that's David Bowie's son or whatever. So it's pretty cool. He's like, I don't want people to watch the movie because I'm David Bowie's son. I'll change my name. But also, you know, when you think about it, this movie is about a man on the moon or whatever, and it's about isolation and being alone. And I started thinking, wait a second, Major Tom?
Major
right?
Tom, yeah.
Didn't David Bowie play the man who fell to Earth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
I don't know what that is.
But he did. He was also in Labyrinth. So.
Yes, he was.
Remember that scene?
I just was wearing a spaceman that fell to Earth. Yeah.
Ah, spaceman.
I don't know.
All right, Bill. Well, what else?
What?
Anything else, Bill?
No, that's it. That's DVDs.
Everyone should purchase Moon. It's awesome. Steven, you need to purchase it.
It's a purchase?
Yeah, it's definitely
yes, and sign the petition to get Sam Rockwell a Oscar nomination.
Yeah, you know, because we read about the studio didn't really want to spend the money on it. And you know what? That's a total BS now because it's coming out on Blu-ray this week. Isn't there still time to push him for it? Or have they already
voted?
Yeah,
I think so. I would hope so. It's certainly... Even though the screeners went out like 3 weeks ago.
Right. Because I don't know how it works, but it seems like you could send it, you know, the postal service hasn't shut down since then. Couldn't they now send the stuff out? I mean,
I don't know why they couldn't send the Blu-rays out early. I mean, they make them so far in advance that there's absolutely no reason for them not to have just sent out the Blu-rays.
Yeah, because if I worked for that studio, I would send them out myself. I mean, I guess I would have to have the addresses to all the celebrities or whatever, wouldn't I?
Well, they do. They do. They have the numbers for all the Academy people to send out the screeners. It's just that Sony didn't want, you know, they didn't have the money to really push the nominations, because what's sad with the Oscars, it's all about money. You know, who has the most money to advertise and, you know, and push it. That's why Miramax would always win, because they threw so much money into the advertising of the films for the Oscar nominations.
Right. So
and they just chose not to with Moon, even though I think it's probably the best performance that Sam Rockwell has done and will have done for a long time.
Far out.
Exactly. So
that was pretty good too, though. The Zaphod Beeblebrox, that was an Oscar performance.
What movie was that, Steven?
Pardon? Space Track.
Space Track.
Oh, nice. All right, Bill, is that it?
That's it.
All right. Thanks for doing the DVDs, right, Steven?
That's right.
And
thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And
that sounds like Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, smoke.
Light it and try to smoke it.
On the water.
All right, everybody. That was episode 187 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Hey, we're back. We're doing an extra long show for you. So
hey,
I
thought
you enjoyed
didn't know what episode number it was.
I was lying. Sometimes you just need an excuse to post something on Facebook. Hey, I haven't posted anything in a day, so I'm going to make some shit up or whatever. So I want you to go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email. Or call 1-206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail. Or send us an MP3 voicemail. Or go to Mulberry Old School. Listen to all of our old shows. Because GCast, which hosts all of our Mulberry Old School, has decided to, what did they say? They will no longer be taking new podcasts. They will no longer, by February 1st, allow you to upload anymore. But all of the present podcasts can still exist there. So what that says to me is for like a month or so, or 2 months or something. But
yeah, who knows how long it'll last.
Basically, one day it's going to shut off. So what I'm saying is, if anybody's like, I've always wanted to go back and listen to those old episodes, do it now before the host shuts down. Because GCast is free, and I have like 170-something, probably 180-something episodes hosted on there. And once that's gone, I don't think I'm going to find another free option. And especially, say I did. How long do you think it would take me? Let me start uploading 180-plus shows that are all 70 to 80 megabytes each. I'm never going to do that. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a while.
So if you want to listen to those old school episodes, do it now. I'm just warning you. It's probably
the
best
time. Yeah, get them before they go back in the Disney vault.
Right. And then, you know, we'll release one episode every 10 years or so, and totally remastered. And, you know, they're going to be in full screen, so we'll put the little animated curtains on the side. So it'll fill your wet white.
That is
television.
A nice touch, I gotta say. for like the Sleeping Beauty Blu-ray.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So everybody go get those Mulberry Old Schools. You know what I'm saying? You go back and look at the descriptions. I put descriptions of all of them, maybe an episode. And then download them, because I don't know. I'm thinking 6 months max until they're gone. I don't know.
Probably.
So
probably less.
But, you know, we've done an extra long show, guys. My voice is tired. Steven, you're full of pep and vigor.
Yes,
and,
I'm ready to.
Yeah, Steven always is.
Thick and fudgy.
Yes, I'm thick and fudgy.
Well, you know what? It's good because knowing you are is the first step to correcting it.
Well, that's okay because you know what I am, Steven?
It's friggin' ganache inside.
Yeah, right here in my tummy.
Your ganache inside?
Exactly.
That's delicious.
Now, guys, I think it's time to go. It was great doing the show again. And we're going to end with the trivia question, Steven. And if you get it right, you get a prize. So, bye, everybody. See you next week.
See ya.
All right, put down that sledgehammer and name the movie in which James Caan played the novelist terrorized by his number one fan.
Quick.
Misery.
Oh, too late, Steven.
Oh, I missed it. I wasn't on time.
Dang.
Space Trek?
Hamburger?
We are the mainframe.
Now this is podcasting.
You can either like it or not like it.
I like it a lot.
Whatever.
Light it and try to smoke it.